Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio Station, home of the Hebrews, home of the Israelites, where they have been awakening from amnesia unto their true identity. I want you to join us here every week with Brother Seth as we talk about a different subject and a different title on every one of his program. On Sundays, we have Proof Biblical Jews 101, and that is 11:30 p.m. And on Tuesdays, we have Racial Matters and Solution at midnight. Thursday, we have New World Watch Society at midnight. On Saturdays, we have the International Israelite Forum. And we'll keep you in touch concerning the time on that. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, home of the Hebrew, the Israelites.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Five Smooth Stone. This is Brother Seth. Sorry about that. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today. Been a little under the weather today. The sun has got the best of me. So I apologize if I come off a little weak or whatever. Heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think the Spirit says the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anyway, I got pretty much ill from all of this heat, and it's been having me feeling a little weak and headaches for the last 2-3 days, but somebody shared some information with me, some wisdom that kind of helped me, and I thank him for that. But anyway, hopefully everybody else is doing a little better than I am. Thank you again for stopping by Blog Talk Radio. Your host, Five Smooth Stones. Again, I'm Brother Seth. Some of y'all listening on your cell phones, I know you don't have the website because a lot of people I just give the number to. But if you ever want to look us up on the web, it's blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. This is our physical address. Once you go there, Five Smooth Stones, don't forget the underscore. You'll find quite a few things to get involved with on the front page. In the show's description, I have a link to the library, a link to my library. It's inside of the show description. We moved it. It used to be to the right of the picture there, but we no longer have it there. To the right of the picture now is the new website. There is a new website. It is under construction. Bear with us. It is not 100% yet, may not even be 50% yet. So there's a lot more things that's going to be added to that site. Stay tuned. In the meantime, you can go and register, be a part of the movement, and get on the mailing list, register yourself, post your picture and whatever you want to say, and eventually you'll be able to post a video in the near future. So anyway. That's some good news that we have a website. Please follow the show if you like the show. We get several people that say this show have been a blessing to them, have answered a lot of questions that they've had all their life, some of them say. And a lot of y'all have supported me because of that and followed the show. We have, I think, a big following. So seeing how short I've been on Blog Talk to have this many followers, I think is pretty good. So anyway, folks, we're just asking you to support the show by simply following the show. If you like what you see, put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, and follow the show. This way we can stay in touch with you. This way we can send you messages, updates, whatever, and don't forget to visit the site as well, the website, and register there. The library is going to house a lot of the books that have changed my life. Please don't miss out on that. That library is going to be
something that would really enlighten your life. Those books, these authors that the Most High brought across my path through the years is second to none. Some of these people they just simply have saved my life in as far as in a spiritual way. So go there. All of the subjects we talk about, and we pretty much have five topics we share on this blog, and that is what we call the five smooth stones, the five topics we share. So we'll be sharing these. The authors will be talking about those subjects in a more scholarly way on that Google library, okay? So, again, that can be found in the description page. When you read the show's description on the front page. Also, if you go to the bottom of the show, or the front page, down to where it says show extra, you should be able to click on that and get that link also to the Google library. So there's two links that should take you to the library. All right? And like I say, follow the show, please, and make comments. Let people know. Some of y'all have been so blessed. We don't really ask for any money. I know I don't. This is the way you support us, by commenting and letting people know how this has been a blessing to you. It encourages us. Or let us know if you disagree with it. We will need that too. We might need to be corrected on some issues. But none of us stand above correction, okay? So let us know. Feedback, that's what we look for. That's our paycheck, so to speak. Feedback, letting us know that, hey, you know, brother, this is great. It helped my family. Or, brother, this is a lie, this is divisive, this is whatever you think it is. I've heard everything, but mostly we've heard good things. You know, people have really been blessed by the show. So thank y'all again for stopping by, following us. Appreciate it. And again, I appreciate it. Now today we do what we do every single Sunday, and that is we talk about proof of biblical black Jews. And we say 101 because this is at the very, very basics of our teaching. That don't mean that you're dumb or ignorant because you don't know about these things. This is just saying we're going to make it as simple as possible. That's what 101 means. We're going to make it as simple as possible where even a child could understand, because some of this stuff we're saying is pretty out there, and I know how it sounds. I know how it sounded when I first heard it, and, I mean, it took me a while. Some of y'all are sharper than I was, because it took me a long time to accept this truth, because there's so many people that don't. Sometimes I think we allow numbers to dictate our beliefs too much. If there's a lot of people believing it, then we say, well, it must be true. All these people are believing it. Must be true. So we kind of fall into what I call a spiritual peer pressure. You know, we let our peers dictate to us because, there's so many people in it. Or if a church is so big, you feel like that church has some truth because there's so many people that go there. It's not true. Sometimes that's the direct sign that it isn't true, you know, because people don't always want what make them feel uncomfortable. You know, somebody once said that what everybody's looking for is something to make them feel comfortable. And that's where a lot of people are at, unfortunately. They're looking for something to make them comfortable. They're looking for some doctrine to make them comfortable. They feel uncomfortable with other doctrines. There you have it. I want to thank everybody for joining in the chat room. I see the chat room. I already have people there. I want to thank everybody for your attendance. Thank you. And the phone lines are already lit up. We want to, again, thank you for stopping by. All right? If you have a question on the phone lines, you press 1. If you have a question in the chat room, just simply post the question. And you may have to post it 2 or 3 times because sometimes I get busy and I don't always look up to see who's saying what. So please be patient with Brother Seth, all right? I'm just one person. Sometimes I have assistants helping me and so forth, but tonight I'm just one person. And then today, is a weird day in that I'm feeling very much under the weather. So, but we're going to be all right. I know we're going to be all right. If nothing else, we going to be all right. So, having said that, and let's see here, anything else we need to cover before we jump feet first into this, head first into this information? Let me see. That's pretty much it. Let's do one thing before I get into the show. I do want to hear a word from one of our sponsors. We have lots of people that help us in various ways and various gifts. So we want to go ahead and not acknowledge one of our sponsors at this time. So stay tuned, and once we get done with this advertising, we'll be right back for the show, all right? Thank you.
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S.com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Fire Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, are so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
That's right, everybody. There won't be peace until Israel, true Israel, is acknowledged. People say, well, why is that important, Brother Seth? Why is this so important? Why do you have this blog every Sunday? Why do you talk on this subject? Those of y'all that know me personally have been knowing, know I've been doing this for many years. Well, here's why, just to give you a few. And if you don't write nothing else down today, please, folks, write this down. Please write this down, because it's going to make, I promise you, if you just take out a pen, pencil, and just take Brother Seth's advice and write this down, it'll make a whole lot of sense, and you'll be glad you did. You'll understand the show a lot better having done so. But the first reason this is important, to know who the true Israelites are, who the real Jews are, and is because it makes the Most High look very like he's picking on black people without this information. It just looks like we're suffering. We're going through all these curses for no apparent reason. You know, everybody is, people are not stupid. They know that we are not sinning no more than our so-called white brothers and sisters. So this business that we hear in these churches that black people are sinning and that's why they're going through what they're going through, that holds water for a moment. It holds water. But then people are going to start saying, you know, they're going to start looking at how we live and how other people live, and they're going to start saying, you know what, this is not true. At some point, somebody's going to begin to assess information and say, you know what, this is wrong information. We are not living no more sinful than any other people in America. As a matter of fact, so-called black people are notorious for being a forgiving people. We forgive our brothers and sisters a whole lot more than our white brothers and sisters forgive. So forgiveness is major. When I say forgiveness, I mean we accept other people more. we accept people faster than other people, be it interracial dating. Or I think black people do want their children to marry within their so-called race. But when their children bring home a white young lady or a white young man, while a lot of our parents don't want that, they want us, again, to marry our own, they're more accepting. We've been done wrong by so-called white people, our white brothers and sisters, and yet we go to church with them, we worship with them. So I think when you look at all the things we forgive people for and how we keep on trucking, I think it's very evident that we're more spiritual, not to even mention Sunday mornings, how we are more in these churches. Now, some people may argue, yeah, but that's just being religious. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. We're more religious, and there is a big difference between being religious and having a relationship with the Most High. But I would venture to say that so-called African Americans are more have more of a relationship with the Most High than do white people. When you're on top in some areas of life, you have a tendency to believe, especially if it's monetarily, if you are financially set a lot better than so-called African Americans, it's very easy to think you don't need the Most High. And this is why I say that we're more spiritual, because we're at the bottom. When you're at the bottom, you have a tendency, not always. So remember, I did say not always. There are some exceptions to the rule, but the vast majority of African America, looking at the vast majority of white America, we can say that the most spiritual of the two is going to be the African Americans. The most forgiving of the two is going to be the African American. Don't mean that they're better in any way. I'm just talking about forgiving and being more spiritual, having more of a relationship with the Most High. And, of course, we're forced that route, I mean, because of our humble status. Now, if for some reason we ended up with more money than whites, I think it would flip. I think we would be more arrogant. I think money has a way of changing people. I do believe that. So, anyway, the reason this information is important is because people are going to be saying, that the Most High looked partial. He looks like he favored white people or white nations. Black nations suffer more. It looks like he's picking on black people. It looks like he's just punishing us for no reason, and it makes him look very biased. Until this information comes along, and we begin to start seeing how that so-called African Americans are living out the curses in Deuteronomy 28 as a nation. Now, again, individual households that seek the Most High and make a decision to follow the Most High through the example that Christ has laid forth, these people are an exception to the rule as far as all the damnable things talked about in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and in other parts of the Bible. They will be exempt because they fear the Most High. If you do that, he's going to bless your household. However, your nation, we're talking about your nation, will cause you to grieve. Just like Christ, he had all the power. I mean, he walked this earth and he ruled where he went. But he mourned for his nation. And so will you. You won't escape the mourning, folks, I'm telling you. So this is what we're talking about today. That's why we're talking about this today. Now, another reason this information is important of who the real Jews are is because the Bible is very confusing. The Bible is very confusing if you are looking at the wrong people. If you're constantly calling those people Jews, that's over there. And we do love and respect them as human beings, but we do not acknowledge them as the real Jews of the Bible. Now, if you don't put the right people in the prophecies, in the Bible, the Bible is going to contradict itself, and it's going to cause a lot of people to just throw the book away because they're going to say this thing don't make sense. One of the things it says, and I'm talking about one of the contradictions you'll see in the Bible immediately, if the so-called Jews in Israel today are the real Jews, one of the things that's going to hit you in the face right away, right off the bat, is going to be when the scripture says that if Israel disobey, they're going to be at the bottom of society. And if they obey, they're going to be at the top in the world. So when you look at Israel today, the so-called Israelis, they are definitely not an obedient nation. They are definitely not keeping the Torah or the Tanakh, okay, because that's what they believe in. They're not faithful to that. And so they're supposed to be at the bottom, and all the nations of the world are supposed to rule over them. Now, tomorrow they decide they're going to be obedient, and if they were the true Jews, and tomorrow they decide they wanted to be obedient, then they would rule over all the nations. So they don't rule over all the nations, obviously, because they're a welfare state. Our tax money is what helped establish that place. America, Great Britain, and the United Nations is what caused Israel to come into existence, not the Most High. And that is why to this very second there is bloodshed over there, disrespect and tension all up and down the Gaza Strip, because they are not the true descendants and heirs to the throne of David. They're not, and I don't mean to say heirs to the throne, but I mean heirs to the culture of Israel. So what I'm trying to say to y'all is this. The Bible contradicts itself where end time prophecy is where it relates to Israel and what Israel is to do and what Israel is to go through, even as far as the Messiah returning, because Israel is supposed to be resurrected as a nation, and then a remnant of Israel is supposed to go into Israel, a remnant, a very small remnant of each tribe. This is what Romans 11 is talking about when it opens up, starting by saying, has the Most High forsaken his people? Is this the end? I mean, because Paul had just made the statement that he is a Jew that is worn inwardly. He is a Jew that is worn inwardly. He had just made that statement, and people were probably thinking, because he was talking about the spiritual Jew, that's what I'm saying. He is a Jew that is worn inwardly, speaking of the spiritual Jew. And so, when he made that statement, anybody reading it would say, well, does that mean that the Most High no longer need natural Israel no more, bloodline Israel no more? He's just using the spiritual Jew, those whose heart is circumcised. Is this it? Is this it for the natural Jew? And then Romans 11 opened up and say, no, he is not done with natural Israel. But he is going to, out of natural Israel, use the Israelites that have a circumcised heart. But he is going to turn to his natural bloodline Israelites that have the new circumcised heart, that have been salvaged or saved from the heart, that have given their life to the Most High and following the example of the Messiah. So, yes, he is going to specifically resurrect natural Israel. So there will come a time when all Israelites will remember and learn who they are. That's happening today. They're waking up, but not all of them is being obedient. So just like our forefathers, many of them will perish. Many of them will perish. And that's the sad thing. They'll resurrect. They'll find out they're Israel. They'll be excited. Someone will just start putting Judah and Issachar and all of the tribes, Gad, on shirts and T-shirts and make it out of a new religion. And that is exactly what is happening as we speak. And that's why Brother Seth has his show on Saturdays when he's talking to the Israelites. It's called the International Israelite Forum, the International Israelite Forum, where we talk to and for the House of Israel. That show on Saturdays is strictly for Israel. The time varies. And then today at 11:30, we always address how we know we Israel from a biblical standpoint. And we don't just stop with the biblical standpoint. That's primarily what we do, but we also look at science and common sense and lots of other ways. Because when something is true, you can prove it more than one way. So this is what we handle on Sunday nights, all times of Central Standard Time. And then on Tuesday nights, we talk about racial matters. And this has been a very popular show. Lots of people are really interested in this racial matters and solutions. Where we just go into the breaking down this beast, this giant called racism. And I'm going to get back to the topic here in a second, but just while I'm in, I might as well go over to Showtimes. So that's on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, We talk about the New World Order, One World Society, what is really going on in our world in the natural realm, but we don't stop there. We break it up into what is happening in the spiritual realm, because nothing happened in the natural realm that haven't already happened in the spiritual realm, okay? I'm talking a little fast because I want to get on the subject of the biblical Jews, black biblical Jews, in a short second. I don't want to waste too much time. And none of it's a waste of time. So anyway, that's our schedule. And that's again at midnight on Thursday, where we talk about, like I said, secret society, new world orders, you know, Obama, just anything that's affecting us on a spirit level. We talk about that show is one week we talk about vaccinations, the whole show. So we just kind of just hit quite a few angles on that show, and bring on guests a lot. So what about this whole topic of Israel? Where are y'all at with it? Are you tired of hearing about it? Do you think it's worthwhile? I really would like to hear from you. Let me know what you think. I mean, you know, those of you on the phone line, press 1. If you have any comments about it, do you think it's something demonic? You know you're required to share that with me if you actually believe that the Most High have commanded you. But if you really believe that I'm in error as my brother, you're supposed to let me know. And so I'm not trying to get into a heated debate with anybody, but we really want to know, what do you think of this message? What do you think of what the Most High is doing in these latter days? Because it's obviously of the Most High. I told you I've traveled the world. I've been a lot of places, lots of places. And everywhere I go, I hear this. I see this. This revelation. People talking about who the true Jews are. And while we don't hear about it much in the United States because the media is owned by some very wicked people, I'm telling you, lots of people on the earth is talking about this. Believe me, and I'm going to show you. I can show you better than I can tell you by bringing on guests from all over. And I've got so much on my plate right now with this website and other things going on till I haven't quite gotten around to it. But on my Facebook, if you wanted to do research, you can check out my Facebook. I have Israelites all over the world, literally, as my friends, and we talk. So eventually I'm going to bring them on, but I'm just taking my time. At first I was trying to do everything at one time, but right now I'm slowing down. They'll come. It'll be a time when I'll be able to bring them on, okay? If y'all be able to hear from from Israelites in India, Israelites in South Africa, Israelites in West Africa and East Africa. You have Israelites in Australia. Israelites that have been scattered all over the four corners. And many people have been obeying the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Many of them acknowledge the New Testament even. And they have just been studying these books and following the culture of Israel for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, and you've never heard of them. So I'm telling y'all, this is not some small little, you know, wannabe Jew type of thing. This is the real authentic bloodline Israel, as what has been preached that will happen in Ezekiel, I believe, 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. This is that revelation coming to pass. That's what's happening right before your eyes. Are you with the program? Are you aware of it? Do you know about it? How do you feel about it? Again, if you're on the phone lines and you have comments or questions, press 1. And if you're in the chat room and you have comments or questions, simply type it in. At this time, what we're going to do is play something for you. This is a clip of a brother sharing the very same thing I'm sharing. He's just saying it a little different. So I want y'all to check this brother out and let me know what you think, okay? This is going to be about a 10-minute clip. And I want y'all to listen attentively, take notes. You're really going to enjoy this. And just let me know what you think. Just bear with me here. I'm trying to get this up. Amazing how you go to get these messages up and all of a sudden it don't seem to Okay, here we go. Let me know what you think of this, please. And is it going to take? Hold on 1 second. Let's try it again. There we go.
Ezekiel 37:1-5. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. The scriptures also proclaim in Deuteronomy 29:1, These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Exodus 19:5-8. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Daniel 9:11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. John R. Moore wrote, Understanding biblical prophecy and black history can set the record straight, where certain myths can be corrected in terms of showing that black people were never cursed because of their black skin, as promoted by the slave masters and other supremacists. Neither were they a genetically inferior race. The curses placed on Israel will help to identify who the real Hebrew Israelites are. The majority of biblical readers, including the black population, who were led to believe that all of their misfortunes were as a result of being an inferior race, have never recognized or understood these curses. This lie caused many black people to become ashamed of their history and ancestry, thereby cutting off their direct link to the Most High. All of the following curses were unleashed on the children of Israel, and not on mankind in general, because it was with Israel's forefathers that the covenant was made. Leviticus 26:14-26 outlines the curses that would be heaped upon Israel because of its disobedience. Romans 11:8, According as it is written, Yah hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Since black people suffer from an identity crisis, Isaiah 1:3, they are not aware of their true identity as Israelites, the special relationship they share with Yah, or what sins they have committed against Yah. For this reason, they are unable to confess these sins while continuing to go against Yah's laws. Black Israelites in general do not understand why so much misfortune is befalling them, and this makes it difficult to comprehend the severity of the punishments confronting them. Leviticus 26:14-15. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. The enemy of true Israel has slaughtered black people for centuries. Historical slave records estimate that over 100 million black men, women, and children perished during the Middle Passage on their way to the Western Hemisphere. In fact, so many dead and dying black Hebrews were thrown overboard that sharks often followed the slave ships. The survivors who arrived in the Americas had to dodge being burnt alive, lynched, tortured, murdered, mutilated, and dehumanized, activities that continued long after legal slavery was over. Leviticus 26:36, "And upon them that are left alive of you I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall upon one another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies." About 30% of America's founding fathers owned over 1,300 slaves. Slaves were also owned by 11 of 16 United States presidents during the time of slavery. As pointed out in the scriptures, "those which hate you shall rule over you" was clearly seen in those who formed the government of the United States, as they could not contain their intense hatred of the children of Yah. Even the Declaration of Independence did not address the slave trade, slavery, or the plantation system, so the assurance that all men are created equal did not apply to the slaves. Joel 3:3-6, "And they have cast lots for my people, and given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border."
The word Jesus came from a Greek word, Jesus. And the Greek word Jesus was a Greek deity. And the word, as a matter of fact, the letter J was never in the original Hebrew language, nor the Greek language. J was never there.
Very interesting clip. Didn't you think so? I thought so. I always liked this. I'm going to go ahead and let this brother finish just talking about the J, and then we'll join after this next clip. The next clip is very interesting. It's 10 minutes. That one was only 7. This one will be 10 minutes, okay? Check this out, though. Remember, if you have any comments, you can post your comments in the chat room. Those of you that are guests, you have got to make up you just got to register. It don't take but a second. Just all Blog Talk One is your name, basically, and maybe an email, and then you'll have a ID, and then you can comment. And I really would like to know your comment, okay? Or you can just make it simple and call the phone line at the top left part of the screen there on the with the pictures rolling there at the top should be a number 760-283-0838. That's 760-283-0838. Okay, I can see somebody grabbing a pen to call. So again, 760-283-0838. Okay, here's clip 2.
Am Egyptians and Kemet and Foot, ancient Somalia. All four of Ham's sons and their descendants settled in and around the continent of Africa. This includes the so-called Middle East, which is also part of the continent of Africa. Ham's sons are the people of the African continent, the ancient Egyptians, Ethiopians, Somalias, Canaanites, etc. The Israelites are descendants of Noah's son Shem through Abraham. He is the father of the Hebrew Israelite nation. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and these sons are the patriarchs of the Israelite nation. The 12 tribes of Israel are as follows: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin.
The children of Israel were the children of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob's name was changed to Israel because he had an encounter with an angel. Okay? In the land of Canaan, where they lived, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. One of Jacob's sons, who was Yosef, which we call today Joseph, Yosef was sold as a slave into Egypt. Being a Hebrew Israelite, he served Yahweh. He trusted Yahweh because that's what he was brought up to love and serve Yahweh. He trusted Yahweh. And because while he was in Egypt, of his faithfulness to Yahweh, he won favor with Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt. And so when Pharaoh had a dream and could not interpret the dream, they called for Joseph. And Joseph came and he interpreted the dream and he made it explicitly clear to the king that we're going to have some years of plenty. We're going to have some years of drought. He said, but you know, the years of plenty, if we take all that we have and store it up, we will have enough to take us through the lean years. And the king was so pleased. He said, Joseph, you're going to be in charge of all this, taking care of all this and see that this is done. And while Joseph was there, his brothers forgot all about him because they sold him. And their father didn't realize that Yosef was still alive because they went home and lied to their father and said, a wild beast killed him. But Yosef, his heart, his mind, everything was serving Yahweh. And he won favor. And his favor is what caused him to be able to reunite with his father and his brother. His brothers, when they came down to get food, Yosef immediately knew it was his brother, but they couldn't recognize him. Why? Because he was now dressed in an Egyptian apparel. They're black. Black paper. He recognized his paper.
Obadiah Yisrael of the Hebrew Israelites in Chicago points out that if Joseph and the Hebrews look like Donny Osmond, who portrayed Joseph in a stage play, his brothers would have recognized him easily among the black Egyptians. But Joseph's own flesh and blood brothers thought he was an Egyptian. The ancient Egyptians of Joseph's time were indeed what we know today as black. This is a fact attested to by many.
When Joseph became governor of Egypt, and he went to Pharaoh after making acquaintance with his brother, went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, look, my family, my dad, my brothers, they all, I want to bring them here because they're suffering over there. And Pharaoh was just happy to get Joseph's family down into Egypt. And these were Pharaoh's words. Bring them, and we will give them the best in Egypt. Hallelujah. And so Joseph, Pharaoh sent carts to transport Joseph's father, his brothers, his wives, their wives, and their children. There were 66 people in all that left Canaan and went to Egypt. Hallelujah. But what happened is, while Joseph was there, he was the favorite to all of Egypt and all the nations around. Everybody knew Joseph because he was the man next to the king. And when the brothers came and they all settled there, after Pharaoh died, the new king did not know anything about Joseph. He did not know Joseph. So he didn't take to Joseph very quickly. And so Joseph had problems with him. He had problems with Joseph. In that, he found that these Hebrew people were multiplying too fast. So he says, you know what? We're going to do this. These people might just overrun us. They might become more than us and then join with our nation next door, and they will overrun us. They'll take us over. So he instructed the midwife. He said, every Hebrew woman that is pregnant and sit on the birthing stool, you make sure, you look and make sure that that child is not a male. If it's a male child, kill it. But let the female live. And the birthing women couldn't do it because Yahweh's spirit was in them. And they allowed the boys to be born and the girls to be born. And the king got angry. And he got angry and he says, no, they're multiplying faster than we are. So let us enslave them. That's how slavery began. That's where it all began. It began with those children of Israel. And Israel was Jacob's name, who was changed to Israel.
This is a historical depiction of the Jews during the Babylonian period, clearly showing the African racial origins that many believe originated out of Egypt and was followers of the Akhenaten religion. This is a statue of the boy king, King Tut. This statue was found in his tomb among many of the treasures in Egypt during an archaeological excavation in 1922. Scholars say King Tut was on the throne of Egypt a few years before the Israelites' exodus. John R. Moore wrote that the white supremacists advocated that Jesus was white. The world has been presented with a white Jesus from the Roman Empire when Augustus was the royal leader around 31 BC to AD 14. This Eurocentric Christian world knows nothing about the real Jesus from the tribe of Judah, the Ethiopian who spoke Aramaic. According to Hebrews 7:14, the tribe of Judah, from whom whence Jesus, or Yeshua, his Hebrew name, came, is a dark-skinned nation of people. However, as Europe prospered, it presented the global world with a white Jesus. Around the time when the Bible was being translated from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English, Revelation 1:14 clearly states, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Jesus' head and hair were white like wool is merely referring to his hair texture. The only people on the face of the earth with hair of a woolly texture are known as those of the Negroid race, whose hair is in its natural state is like a wool of a lamb. If black people do not cut or comb their hair, it will eventually lock together and become woolly.
The word Jewish, the word Jew, was never and never is in the old original scriptures. As a matter of fact, again, if there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet, how could you get the word Jew, or Joseph, or Jeremiah, or Jehovah? It's impossible. It's highly impossible, you see. But here is how the word Jew or Jewish came into being. If we go back and you see, everything that we say today is scripture based. Everything is in scripture. It's sad that many of us have not gone into the research to really get the stuff, but it is recorded in scripture. And it says, if we go back to the book of Genesis, let me see if I could.
All right, folks, that's the second clip two. Y'all, and just by the way, so y'all know what you're listening to, this is actually a group from that I like a lot on YouTube, and it's called Blacks Are In Fact the True Jews of the Bible, and there's six parts. We won't listen to all six tonight, but I may play another one before it's over with. Again, brother, it's a little bit. A little bit under the weather, and just don't want to shortchange y'all. I want you to get some fine teaching on this, and this brother hits it like I think probably it's a lot of people on YouTube that are you know, YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk, all these social networks have a lot of good people on them, and we got to take advantage of that. I'm telling you, NBC, ABC, CNN has been taken over. The churches have been taken over for the most part, and a lot of people are not going to teach the truth for various reasons, okay? And so you have got to turn to different things to get truth, and this is one of those avenues, YouTube, that I think is has been a blessing. Lots and lots of words that went forth, blessed lots of people. We'll never know all the miracles that have taken place from when I say miracles, I mean, I'm not talking about just what everybody else calls miracles. I just mean sometimes just getting answers to your questions. You know, the Bible just coming alive more, making more sense, because in the end, it's all about our relationship with the Most High. That's what all, in the end, that's what all of this teaching and training and blogging it should be about, getting closer to the one that has made it possible for us to be, all right? So I want to talk a little bit about the reason we do this, and then I want to go to another clip. So in this, in these clips, I'm telling you, very interesting, because these brothers are about to get into it, okay? But we talked about that without this revelation, of who the real Jews are, without this people, the real Jews, talking about African Americans who live out these prophecies, and other people that has been scattered to the four corners of the earth that are living out these prophecies. What are the prophecies? We're going to get into that in a little bit. The next clip is going to get more into the prophecies. They've already gotten them into the prophecies, but we're going to get into it even more. So you want to have your pen out, your pencil, tape recorder, and really make a lot of notes, because I'm telling you, this stuff is solid as iron, okay? It's solid. Now, so the Most High looks partial. Without this, it looks like black people and black nations are just suffering for no reason. It looks like he's picking on us because white nations don't live no more righteous, holy, moral than black nations. Why do black nations suffer? Why do they crawl? Why is there so much poverty in a lot of these nations? Okay, does the Most High hate black people? It looks like he's favoring whites if you didn't know the Bible. But we're not ignorant. We see the scriptures, and we see that the Most High said in Jeremiah 1 that he will bring all the nations of the north. He will bring all of the... Let me just go in and read this. I'm going to let them do the sharing tonight, but I will turn to this because this is so important. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah. You should have your Bibles. Now turn to Isaiah 1, please. Okay, Isaiah 1 and 14. Jeremiah. 1 and 14. It's just one book over from Isaiah. Jeremiah 1 and 14 says this. Then the Lord said unto me, me being Jeremiah, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Okay, watch this. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north. Who is north of Israel? European. The Most High said he's going to call all of them. So Pope, the Pope, I can't think of his name, Julius, I want to say, Pope Urban the Second, when he led the Crusades, and he says, go down there and wrestle the hands out of the the ungodly, that man was used by the Most High. But they wasn't a righteous nation. They was a wicked nation. But the Lord, the Most High, will often use the wicked to get things done. Don't think he won't. Of course he will. He says it right here in verse 15. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north. One more time. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Most High, and they shall come, and they shall set forth every one his throne. And they shall come, and they shall set forth every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all of the cities of Judah, or Yehuda. And I will utter my judgments against him, touching all their wickedness, talking about Israel, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, or Elohim, and worship the works of their own hands.
So the Most High is saying he's going to call all of the people north of Israel to come to Israel and the land of Israel and just basically take it from them. Joel 2 makes it even clearer where it says, before this nation that the Most High is calling, they're not a godly nation, but the Most High is using them. The scripture says before them it's like the Garden of Eden, but after they get done with it, it's like a wilderness. Joel 2 talks about a nation that says there's never been a people like these people, never will be a people after these people. Who can wear that shoe? That who can boast there has never been anybody like us and there will never be anybody after us? No oppressors of Israel prior to this day and time can boast that. America is number one. The Europeans that come to set up this America, that also are the same people that went and colonized Africa and did all these people. This is the most vicious army to come out of the north. Anyway, and I know y'all see that. I know you can see that right there. Brother Seth don't always articulate things the best way, but that right there is a no-brainer. He said, I will call all the nations of the north. How simple can it be? And to oppress Israelites, the land of Israel. So when people say, who are those people over in Israel today? They're nothing more than the judgment that the Most High have orchestrated. He have called them. Who are the people that oppressed us and brought us over in slave ships? It's the same people. The Most High called them. That's why I said in my last show, we did on Thursday night, the white man is not your enemy. You want to know who your enemy is? It's our foreparents that was disobedient and didn't keep the covenant. The Most High said, if you don't keep these laws, then you're going to go through this, that, and the other. I want to turn to another verse real quick. Quick. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 46. Deuteronomy 28, verse 46. You got to see this. If you don't turn to no scripture, you got to see this scripture because this scripture lays the foundation for every scripture you're going to see. I'm telling y'all, you got to turn to Deuteronomy 28, verse 46. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. Harry, get there. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 46 says, Moses is talking about the blessings or the curses. Listen to this. When he say they, he's talking about the blessings or the curses. And they shall be upon thee. Let me set the stage here. Moses is upon a mountain talking to the Israelites, and he's warning them what's going to happen to them as a nation. Good things that's going to happen to them, blessings that's going to happen to them, prosperity that's going to happen to them if they're obedient, if they follow the Most High, if they follow his laws, seek his face, then they will be blessed. End of story. But now if they disobey, he talks about what's going to happen to them if they disobey. And the curses, there's many curses. Just like from verse 15 to verse 68, it's nothing more than curses. Verse 1 through verse 14 is the blessings. But you don't need very many scriptures to be blessed because it's just, when the Most High say you're going to be blessed whatever you touch, you don't have to say that. You don't need a lot of scriptures. But curses, is he spells out the curses. But nobody, no nation, is living out the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14. I can tell you that right now. And remember that Moses said that after he lead the Israel would turn their back on the Most High and would go and they would be a rebellious people. So we for sure can look at the curses. But more importantly, listen to the curses when I play this audio here in a second, and just ask yourself two questions. Who's living this out? Is the people over in Israel living out this prophetic prophecy, or is there another people? Because Moses said they're going to be upon them forever. Watch this. And here it says it right here. Verse 46, and they, speaking of the blessings and curses, shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Moses is speaking again, and he says, speaking of the blessings or the curses, and they shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N. What does a S-I-G-N do? A sign identifies. You want to know who a real Israelite is, a real Jew is? Moses is telling you right here. And they shall be upon thee, the blessings of the curses shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder. A wonder just make you wonder. The Most High does nothing without getting his wonder, his amazement. He always have people amazed. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. That last word, forever, is what got Brother Seth. 1991, studying this, laying across the bed, this is what did it for me. That last word. I've always said for many years, we're just like the Israelites. Man, we're just like the Israelites. Every time I would hear a teaching about the Israelites, I would kept saying, man, we're just like them. We are so much like them. Man, we're like them. But what did it for me, for sure, is when I saw that these curses was going to be upon Israel's descendant forever. Because all I could think about is how forever, 1991 was not the end of forever, was included in that forever. And so I knew that that meant us. It meant us because we're living these curses out. Okay? So remember that verse, because whenever you're reading the Bible, all these other books of the Bible, you know, especially the Old Testament, you're looking at what Israel is going through. Remember, you might say, ooh, that sounds like us. But remember, they're supposed to repeat. They're supposed to keep repeating these behaviors over and over and over and over and over and over again until they turn to the Most High. 2 Chronicles. Y'all know what I'm about to go to. 2 Chronicles make it very clear that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and that's 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and he will heal their land. If he's going to heal their land, he has to heal the people. Again, 2 Chronicles 7, the solution for Israel, the nation. If my people, which are called my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He goes on to say that he would hear and he would heal their land. That is one way he is going to deliver Israel. But there was another way he said, where he says, after a while, when the heathen began to boast and start thinking he did these things to Israel, that the Most High was going to step in and bless them anyway. He's going to bless, step in and salvage them when the wicked ones start saying they're in our hands. We control them, taking all the glory, not giving the glory to the Most High. Because there's powerful people that we talk about on Thursday night on New World Watch Society at midnight. There's some powerful people that know exactly who we are. This may be new to us, but it ain't new to them. They know history. The powerful people that run the world know exactly who we are. And they have a beef against the Most High. And they serve Satan with their heart and soul. Just like there are certain people walking around and they're possessed by the Most High. They're possessed by a spirit. There are some people walking around that are possessed by Satan and his spirit. You better go ask somebody if you don't know that. I'm telling you. You can't be a true warrior not knowing who your enemy is. We got a caller with their hand up. I'm going to go ahead and answer this question. Error code 918-914. Error code 918-914. Go right ahead. You on the air.
Hey, you were supposed to call me Thursday for that show.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad you called me. Is this Miss Angela?
Yes, this is her.
I am so glad you called back because I wrote down the wrong number. I kept telling everybody I wrote down the wrong number. I hope she called Sunday, and you never did. Folks, those of y'all listening wondering, what is the world is going on? This is a sister that called on one of our Thursday night shows and dropped the bomb
about
the vaccination.
Beautiful sister. Say beautiful sister. I'm a beautiful sister. Okay, go ahead.
One of our beautiful sisters. Okay, that's fine. I give you that. But she called on Thursday night. We wasn't really talking about vaccinations, but with Thursday night show, we're always talking about what's really going on in our society with regard to the secret society, Illuminati, one world government, blah, blah, blah. And she talked in greed about what was going on in Africa with all these vaccinations. She don't feel like she know for a fact because she's been there several times, and she knows these vaccinations is wiping out the continent of Africa, and she is trying to sound an alarm, and so she was able to share a lot of vital information. Now, I'm writing down the correct number this time, and I will get a hold of you for real, okay? But everybody's been trying to figure out what
and
the number
is. To clarify, I have not been over there. I've been asked to come over there. You know, many of the vaccinations that they use on that continent are not safe. Many of them come from China, who's the number one producer of vaccinations. You know, I'm for keeping children safe, and people are lied to every single day in this country and many others. And that's my thing. I think people are entitled to full disclosure, and you do not get that. So.
Well, listen, Angela, what I would like for you to do, if you don't mind, is I want you to call back on maybe Thursday. We'll do the show together. I'll call you and talk about that. I don't mean to put you on
you'll
the spot.
You'll have to call and remind me because I have children.
Okay.
Life is crazy.
But I don't think people can really value the call now unless they heard you on Thursday. Go off into the details.
Oh, I understand. I do understand.
Yeah, I mean, you really
go ahead
got
to remind one. You that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and everybody, again, what she did, she was able to just really go off into some serious information about vaccinations, and Brother Joseph Johnson was able to verify that what she was saying was true, because that brother, he studies a lot, too. And so, anyway, y'all check her out on Thursday. We'll hopefully she'll join and do us a favor and be on the show on Thursday, the midnight, and y'all can get an earful. But, yeah, I lost your number, and I apologize. Let me ask you this for time's sake. Now, did you have a comment on the current show, or you just called it mainly?
Yes, I do. When you're talking about Return to God, you know, the high holiday, Rosh Hashanah, you know, they talk about Teshuva. Do you know what that means?
No. What is it?
It means return. It means return. It's the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They're called the Days of Awe. And when you were talking about that, 10 days, I mean, it's a significant number, many different things. I was listening to you. And like in the Hebrew language, there's not even a word for sin. What they have is a term that means missing the mark. They don't even have the word sin. You know, but maybe you should look at those high holidays and see how they relate to what you believe. But you're Muslim Brotherhood, are you not? Or am I mistaken?
No, we're not. I mean, Muslim means follow.
That's why I listened to you a few times.
Yeah,
so I'm
Muslim
just asking because I'm not quite for certain.
Yeah, Muslim means follow of the Most High, and in that respect, I am a Muslim. If it means that's what it means, but no, what we claim ourselves to be this show is we use the scriptures to go into the scriptures and look at what is to befall Israel, what is to happen to Israel. Moshe, more appropriately, put it very clearly what is to happen to Israel. And that Israel, Ezekiel 37, of Israel becoming a nation all over again, is happening right now before our very
eyes.
The Most High have wakened natural Israel, and they're all over the four corners of the earth. They're scattered out of Israel. And we just believe that those who live out the prophecy set forth in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and other parts of the Bible are the true, authentic bloodline Israel. Simple and plain. We are very serious about it. When Moses said that Israel will be put in ships and sold as slaves, we look for a nation that was put in ships and sold as slaves. When Moses said that,
one of the requirements for fulfillment of the Messiah is that the Ezekiel 37, where everyone is to be brought back from the dead and brought back to Israel. And that's why that passage means so much to me. Remember I discussed it that one Thursday, Ezekiel 37, also known as these dry bones passage.
Right. Yeah, well,
I wanted to point that out to you.
Well, I mean, that's a way you can look at it. But more importantly, we look at the scriptures and see the prophecies. Now, Moses is up on a mountain, as you know. I think it was Mount Horeb. And he's speaking to the natural, biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is letting them know exactly what will befall them, what they will go through. And when you look at the scriptures and you look all across the world, look for groups of people or nations of people that are living out these prophecies. They are there. Now, I don't believe anybody's living out the blessings. No nation is living out the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14. However, in the Torah, if you check out verses 15 through 68, there are many, many people living out those scriptures. And so when we see those people, we recognize them as Israel and nobody else. Simple and plain. We don't believe just because you live in the land of Israel that make you Israelite. That don't mean anything. And I have much respect and honor, and I love the people of Israel. No hatred here. That's another show, not my show. We love the people of Israel.
What about the adoption?
But
other people into the faith.
Say that again.
What about the adoption of other people into the faith? What about that whole thing?
That's the spiritual Jew. That's what Paul talked about. That's those that accept, you know, that those that are walking with the Most High that are not Israel. Okay, they're the what we call the spiritual Jew. Those are the ones have been adopted in, and grafted in is the more appropriate word. Yes, we acknowledge them. However, that's not the natural Jew, but that is the spiritual Jew. And the Most High does want those that seek after His heart. He wants that more than He wants the natural Jew. So the spiritual
Jew. What about Ruth? She was not a Jew, and she was grafted in.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
You can become
Jewish. The Most High wants those that seek Him more than He want natural bloodline Israel. But what I'm saying in Romans 11, it starts off saying, "Has the Most High forsaken His people?" Because Paul had just got to talk about the spiritual Jew, and people are thinking, "Oh, so the natural Jew don't matter anymore." And then Paul goes on to say in Romans 11, have God forsaken His people? Talking about the natural Jews, have He forsaken? Is there no such, do we not need them anymore? And then he goes on to say, no, there remaineth and a remnant. The Most High is going to work with a remnant in the latter days. The Most High is going to work with a natural Jew remnant in the latter days. And that is what we believe is happening now with this resurrection of other people claiming to be Israelites, other people claiming to be Jews, because they have lived out, and we only acknowledge those unless people can say, yeah, here, we lived out the scriptures. We are fulfillment of the prophecy. When it says that Israel will be put in ships, we were put in ships. We are fulfillment of the prophecy when it says that your men will not take care of their household. Your household will be led by women. We are fulfillment of that prophecy. We have sons, but we cannot enjoy our sons because they have been taken to captivity. We're fulfillment of that prophecy. The fulfillment of that prophecy when it says that you'll build houses, but the nation is going to live in them. You'll gather grapes, but you won't eat them. Those were our foreparents. That's what happened in slavery. They gathered grapes, but they could not even enjoy them. It was made for the master. They could eat chitlins. They could eat what was left over. So when we look at these scriptures, and it's not just Deuteronomy 28. We like Deuteronomy 28 because it has the most
important. Why is that so important to you that you're part of the bloodline and all this and that?
The reason why it's important.
I can hear you speak with much passion and such belief. It has to be important to you for a reason. I would love to hear that reason.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let me share it with you. And
Because I haven't listened to you that much. I'm just learning.
Well, that's fine. You're doing great. Let me just answer your question, okay?
Okay.
Now, was that the only other question you had, may I ask?
Oh, I have tons of questions.
Well, let me go ahead and...
I am Jewish by blood, by my mother's family.
Okay. Well, then that means if you're Jewish by blood, that means that you have proof that you've lived out Deuteronomy 28. I'm not here to debate. What I'm here to say, I will debate, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is if you believe you're Jewish by blood, Angela, very simple and plain, when I look at your family's heritage and when I look at the heritage of the lineage of your people, you should be able to mirror those blessings or mirror those curses. And that's what this study is sharing. I appreciate you calling. I welcome callers like you. I don't know why more Jewish people don't call, but let me tell you where we stand. You can tell me where you stand, and then people can make their choice which way they go. We have got to go with the Bible. We don't acknowledge no DNA, none, because DNA too man-made, too political. Anybody can say DNA says this, DNA says that. How many times have they said DNA didn't say this and DNA didn't say this and find out later was wrong? So we don't go by DNA. The Bible is our DNA.
The Bible says that Israel is supposed to go through certain specific blessings. If they obey, this is how the nation is going to look. If they disobey, this is how the nation is going to look. Now, let's watch this. Now, you say, why is this important? The reason it's important is because, well, I can say to me, but I'll share with me, because at the end of the day, it is my opinion. But I've heard lots of people that's probably listening right now on the line share and tell me the same thing. And that is, it looks like the Most High is partial to white people with the way things are taught right now. If the people in Israel today are the real Jews, and they're all white, in that black sun-stricken land, right in Africa, we don't acknowledge the Suez Canal and chopping up of that canal, and now there's Middle East. No, that's Africa. They share the same tectonic plate as Egypt does. So what I'm saying
Ethiopia?
Is...
Ethiopia? There's tons of Jews there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we know, I've been to Israel, and I can tell you for a fact that it is not as diverse as it sounds. It's very much white, especially where the camera's at up there in Jerusalem. So what I'm saying is that, yeah, they went and got the Ethiopians, but why did they go get the Ethiopians? Why did they go get the Ethiopians? They went and got the airlifted 800, I believe, Israel, 800, they call them Falashas, although the Falashas don't like their name. They like the name Beta Israel. But they went and got these people out of Ethiopia, I think it was 800. And they went, sent 747s out, 767s, and got them and brought them to Israel. But those people have the highest suicide rate in Israel because they treated so badly. It's not a diverse country where they all love and getting along. I go visit 3,000.
They're not as accepting of them as others. You know, that's true. That is true.
Well,
you
got to ask why.
Suicide rate, but I know they're treated as well.
I'm sorry?
The people that come to Israel that are, you know, they found out that they were Jewish or they've been Jewish and thought they were the only Jews, and they're taken over. The same thing happens to the Russian Jews also, not just the Ethiopian Jews. They are not treated as well.
What I'm saying, though, when I go to Israel, I think it's a very racist state. Okay, let me just be very honest with you. It's a very, very,
true.
Very
the people I've met that go to Israel quite often, and, you know, they're purist, what I would call a purist. You know, if you're not a certain way, you know, if you haven't done this, you know, very much like the Pharisees of old, and it reminds me of how they talked about the Pharisees. And,
right. And so,
you know,
what
not
we're,
that much
what
different.
What we're saying today is, who gives the Israelis the authority, number one, to declare themselves Israel, and their life and their history is not biblically based? The Holocaust is horrible, 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 horrible. May nobody ever go through it. My heart, I say this every time we talk about this, may my enemies not go through the Holocaust. But as horrible, horrible, horrible as it was, it's not in the Bible. It's nowhere in this book. And that is the number one
thing. What about Lamentations? What about Lamentations?
Well,
about the third chapter,
I
believe it was.
Okay, hold on.
You know, there's been argument.
Everybody turn to Lamentations, because if you got to show me the something that I've been looking for 25 years, you really do get the medal for the day in my book. Okay, Lamentations 3, where at? Angela? Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Try that again. Okay, I'm sorry. Last thing I heard you say was...
Very small book. Lamentations.
Say it again?
There is an argument that Lamentations does refer to the Holocaust. Now, I do not know if that is true or not, but having read it, you can see where a person might believe that.
I've read Lamentations. There's nowhere in the book of Lamentations does it say that Israel will be put in a gas oven. No.
Well, read it. It talks about just read about the mothers and the children. And my Bible's downstairs. I have an archaeology Bible that I like to read because it gives me more information. But what I'm trying to tell you is that there is an argument that that refers to the Holocaust. I didn't say it was true. There is an argument.
Yeah, but listen, what I'm saying is this, and I spoke with a rabbi on the plane, and I asked him, could I record him? And I recorded this man, and he told me Lamech is in the Bible.
What rabbi was he?
Well, he's Orthodox. I don't know. I just know everybody on the plane kept reporting
was
to him
Hasidic?
And asking him different. Huh?
Was he Hasidic with the curlies?
Yes, ma'am.
The strand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, with the curly sideburns, and he had to look, and he didn't have the regular. I forget what they call the top of the hat. It's a formal name for it. But anyway, I think he was knowledgeable, okay? And later on when I got to home, I looked up on the net, and he was not just – he was somebody in the community, very influential. I'll just say it like that. But anyway, I asked him about this whole rise of so-called black Hebrewism, and I say, what do you think of it? And he says, I heard of it. He says, I don't agree with it. I say, well, what they're saying is y'all haven't been through anything in the book. Is that true? He says, oh, that's lies. And I say, okay, just show me example. I mentioned his name. I say, show me if you don't mind. And so he said, well, for instance, like the Holocaust. I say, yeah, the Holocaust. Where is that at? Because that's. And he says, it's in Deuteronomy 28. He didn't say Lamentations.
He said Deuteronomy 28. Okay.
Yeah, you can look at Deuteronomy 28. You're not going to find the word gas. You're not going to find the word oven. You're not going to find the word burn. What I'm trying to say is this. We can look at the scriptures and kind of, well, that's maybe what they're kind of talking about. Well, maybe they can. We can do that with any scripture, make anybody Israel.
Well, Lamentations is a better book to do that with.
All we can just look at scriptures that say, you shall be put in ships, and look for people put in ships, sold as slaves, verse 68, Deuteronomy 28, 68, look for people that's sold as slaves. You shall have, you said you have sons, but you won't enjoy them, for they'll be taken in captivity. Well, let's look for a lot of sons. Who's got the most sons in captivity? Well, what does captivity mean? Well, today our captivity would be prisons. Who have the most in prisons? Okay, it says you shall your men won't father their children. Well, let's look for a nation who's basically the men of the nation is not fathering their children because of some kind of system. Because it said you will not father your children because of the siege, siege. And we're at Deuteronomy. I'm telling you exactly where I'm coming from. Where you won't think I'm making things up. Not that
well,
you think
in Africa there's lots. In Africa and Nigeria especially, the men do not stay in the home.
Well, that could be true, but it's more than just a matter of not staying in the home. It's more than that. But listen to this.
Of not being involved.
It says the men, verse 24, we'll start 24, it says, and even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth this heat of this great anger? Verse 25, then men shall say, hold on, that's not what I want to read, even though that's good too. But I want
you're
to read.
You're so glad I called tonight, aren't you?
I am so glad you called. I mean, either way it goes, we're going to have a great show, but I think, here it is, verse 58, 54. So then that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother. And this is a good man. His eyes is going to be evil towards his brother. And this is talking about a whole nation of men. It's not talking about no one man. Moses is up on the mountain talking about what is going to happen to a nation of Israel. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother and towards his wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Moses is saying that these men he's looking at later on generations, because he's talking to these people, and obviously they're about to die. So the next chapter, he goes on to say, I'm not just talking to y'all. I'm talking to generations that's to come after you. Because those men that he's looking at can't do all this. Some of them old. So this is a prophecy that's supposed to be upon Israel forever. And that's what Deuteronomy 28 and 46 was saying when it says, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and unto thy seed forever. So anyway, he goes on to say that you're going to leave your children. He's talking to all these men and saying, basically, y'all going to leave your children. Verse 55, so that he would not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat. And we know that the word eat don't mean literally eat their bodies, but that means to take what's theirs. Because he hath nothing left him in the siege. What siege? Because he have, the reason why he's doing this to his children is because he have nothing left in the siege. What is a siege? S-I-E-G-E, battle. There's some battle going on that this man is taking from his children and not giving rightfully to them. He's taking theirs, that's what he means by eat. And straightway wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. There is the siege, Angela. I'm going to say it again. And in the straightness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. In other words, the enemy is going to come in and distress this household, this man, till this man won't have nothing to give his children, and he's going to take from his children and not be a good father unto his children. There it is right there in the book. But that's just one scripture. I have over 300. We went over like, what, four? I have over 300. And when I mention these scriptures, you say, who's going through this? The people in Israel or other nations? African American, their very culture, Angela, as crazy it is, you can name something right now. Name something that we do, Angela, that you feel, you don't have to. You don't have to unless you just want to, but if you don't mind, I would like you to name some that African Americans do that's troubling. It's very, you know, like we are in prisons disproportionately. Anything else? I mean, anything you can name or I can name or anybody else.
Wait. You want me to name something that is troubling that the African American population does? Is that what you're asking me to do?
Not a few knuckleheads, but I'm talking about when you see us doing as a trend, as a cycle, pattern that's
as a culture?
Really part of our culture. That's part of our culture, yes.
Hmm. Well, then that would involve society's mores. And there's a number of different things.
Why are you thinking? There's subsets.
You know, that's not as a whole. I don't think you can do that to one large racial
culture. What I'm saying
culture.
Is our culture, what we do in the South.
And who is really black? I mean, my father
taught me
there's 30
different shades of black. Hold on one second. There are some things we do collectively as a people. And when black America gets together, we make jokes about it, okay? Our businesses are oftentimes taken away. I mean,
you're what?
Violently taken away. Well, there's a scripture right here in Deuteronomy 28. It says,
what's the word you said? Your what's taken away?
Businesses. Our businesses. Our things that we go to start that generate money are some kind of way railroad out of the, you know, we railroad out of the system.
I don't think it's just black people that go through that. I think it's many different minorities that go through that.
Right, but what I'm saying is,
whoever's in power that can take it away from you will, if it will benefit them.
Right, but what we're talking about tonight is prophecies that's in Deuteronomy 28 that we live out. Or whoever lives this out is going to be the true Israelite. That's what now some of the prophecies, other people can say, well, yeah, we was put in ships, but did you do the other things? We're looking for people that can wear the Cinderella slipper. We're looking for Cinderella.
Well, there was some Israelites that were shipped down to Syria, to Damascus, in slavery. There's been other times that Jews or Israelites, whatever label you want to limit people with, have gone through as well.
No, what I'm saying is I don't want to shortchange the conversation by mentioning, we mentioned one thing that the scripture says we're going to go through, and you think of somebody that went through that. Israel is going to go through all of this. Moses is speaking to these people, mm-hmm. and he's saying that you're going to go through all of this. Let's read the verse again. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 46 says this. Moses speaking of the blessings or the curses. He says, and they shall be upon thee.
for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Or we can read it like this. And these blessings or curses shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. So what we want to do is we want to look at all of these different things that we go through as a people and say, hey, does it fit in this Bible or not? But I can tell you this, that the Jewish culture, the so-called Jewish culture, and much respect and love for those people, mm-hmm. our fellow human beings, what they have went through was horrible, horrible. Mm-hmm. And maybe they went through it because they called themselves a Jew. And that's why they was oppressed, because whenever you see that word Jew or Yehuda, the proper name, you are going to go through hell. Because it's a jealousy that nations have, and there's a hatred. So just because Hitler did anything to them, don't make them Jews. Hitler does not define what a Jew is. The Most High does. But I want you to just stay right there, because I got somebody that's had a question, and I don't want you to hang up at all. I want you to stay on the line,
if you
don't mind.
Okay?
All right. Error code 708-903. You are on the air. Do you have a question or comment?
I got a comment, Seth. Shalom, shalom. This is Gabriel out of the Shire area. I was listening to the lady, right? She's supposed to be a Jewish.
Yes, brother. You said brother Gabriel. Yeah, welcome to the show, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is what I have to say. I'm not here to bash nobody, but when you see do history on her people, she will find out her people are from the Khazarian Empire. Before the Khazarian Empire, they were not known as Jewish, and Jewish means, because the "ish" suffix means something like. So there's something like the chosen people, or they chose to steal some identities, and when you do that, that's why you get the "ish." I was bad at English, so I had to recently learn these things. Like racist. It's really not a bad thing. It means for your race. Now, when you take it to the point of oppressing the other nations, that's when we be having, like, what they call the supremacy, I forget what they call it, stuff. Long story short, her people come from Khazaria, and they get from the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. If she do the research on that, she will find out she is not from Jacob's seed, she is from Edom's seed, because in Genesis, it said Edom went to the cliffs of Mount Seir, which means Mount Hare, Mount of Hare. So long story short, they were so-called cave women and cave men. Not to disrespect nobody, but history is history. You can verify these things. I ain't going to tell you nothing that ain't the truth, but you can't verify. So,
Brother Cosmo got real.
And also in the Bible, it states there's a certain group of people that say they are what they are not. In Revelation 2:9-3, they say call them the synagogue of Satan. And I was listening to another show, and I was listening to Rabbi A. Finkelstein or something like that. He admitted that their father, like in Messiah said, you all have your father, the father of lies, the devil. He's a murderer from the beginning. He said most Jewish won't admit that their God is Lucifer. Then he reinstated it in another part of the statement. He said, our God is Satan.
And Brother Gabriel, can you
yes,
hold
sir.
On 1 second? I want the sister to chime in on what you said. Now, the scripture is the scripture, okay? And I hear your heart. I think your heart is right, but there's some pretty harsh things you said. But the Bible does
not
say,
really, because I thought the truth.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Look it all up.
Everybody, hold on. The Bible does say in Revelation 2:9, it says, behold, I know those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Then Revelation 3:9 goes on to say, behold, I will come and make them worship at thy feet, those who say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Many times in the Bible does the Most High say that he will bring a people from the north to occupy Israel as a punishment to the real Israelites that have been driven out of it and driven to all four corners. So now, here's my question to I want Sister Angela, in all due respect, I want her to have a say in what you said so far. You may have other things to say, and just hold on, I'll let you say those, but I want a response to what you said so far. Sister Angela, go right ahead if you have a response.
Thank you. You know, I think it is a little bit nitpicky to say the Jewish thing. My mother does come from a family that are Jews, and historically have been Jews for centuries. You know, and they left France. They fled France because they were burning Jews in France. Now, I'm not talking about the 1930s and 40s. I'm talking earlier. Those things happen quite often. I think when you come from a stance of hate, which that's what it sounded like to me, it was very condemning, very limiting. When you choose to label someone, you limit them. You know, I only recently in the last 2 years found out about my mother's family. All my life, they've always asked me, people that knew me, are you Jewish? Because things like my grandmother was buried the day after she died. All these different things, you know, just little silly things. Like, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish? And I always said no, but I really am from that. And I identify more with that. And as a matter of fact, the line that I came from, that my mother came from, I almost legally changed my last name to that family name. You know, and these were the
were related to a famous
Jewish painter named Yosef Israel. You know, famous rabbis from the 17th, 16th centuries, and I can't even remember their names, to be honest. And go ahead. What were you getting ready to say? I did not mean to
What I was going to ask you is this. I want you to try to understand something. But Brother Gabriel, I mean, you know, I'm going to share something Hold on. What's your last name? Well, you don't have to give me your last name. Let's say your last name was Rubenstein. Hopefully that ain't it. I'm just guessing. Let's say your last name is Rubenstein. And Goldstein, or one of those names, okay, sound like jewelry or something, okay? Now, all of a sudden, you find yourself in a lawsuit where somebody is saying that you're not who you say you are, and they are the real Angela Rubenstein. And they start to live out your identity. In other words, a theft of birthright. They take everything that's yours, Angela, okay? Your whole culture, black people are waking up every day to this revelation. And even we either right or we're wrong. Now, if we're wrong and we got our doctrine screwed up, okay, that's one thing. But I just think that you, Angela, and many people like you who find themselves who find themselves in life, parents are telling them they're Jewish, and you find out that another people is saying, no, we're the real Jews, and we have the real proof to prove it, and they begin to start sharing the stuff that look like proof, you can understand why they would be upset and you would hear an anger. Actually, I'm probably tonight, you read the Bible and see people that stole each other's birthright, there wasn't no nice scene about it. But I know that I can't go out there gun blazing, as I'm not going to get very far in this system. But what I'm saying is, Brother Gabriel, to be very honest with you, probably was being exactly the way he's supposed to be, looking at the fact that he's accusing you. He ain't saying this, but I think what he is saying is he is accusing your people of a theft of birthright. Our people are suffering right now through the worst identity crisis that we've known ever. Black people all across the planet, and not all black people in Israel. We don't believe that foolishness, okay? But the Israelites are black people mostly that are going through some horrific events, and we know why now, because we don't have an identity. We don't have a nation. We don't have a Somebody got some noise in the background. Can you mute yourself or whatever? I'm hearing feedback. So, again, Angela, what is happening is you're hearing this hatred. But I don't even know if it's hatred. I just think it's a frustration he have listening to you because
they feel entitled. The people I'm talking about that speak like he does, they feel entitled. It's no different than the Klan speaking the way they do. They feel entitled to say the things how they say them. You know, God doesn't look ugly no matter what color you are.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. What I'm asking you, Angela, and Brother Gabby, I want you to chime in here in a second, please. But what Angela, we're just going back and forth. I'll let you guys have as much time as you need. But what I'm trying to say is, my sister,
I want you to just please just take a long, hard look at what you're hearing. You just heard a brother that have woken up from the dead that realized his culture, his birthright. Had he been raised a Hebrew and taught from birth, Brother Gabriel, you are Israelite, and he been taught his culture, maybe he would be even better, more successful than he already is. That identity, but instead was taking his identity and replaced with you are a black, you are African, you are a nigger, you are a coon, you are, and he's probably been called these names. So his birthright has been stolen. He has woken up, and now I got somebody on the phone who's very nice, very pleasant, but your people is a part of the theft of our true identity. Do you really think he's going to take it easy on you? Now, Brother Gabriel, I want you to comment on what I just said. Then I want Sister Angela to comment on that. And Sister Angela, whatever you have to say after that.
No, I do have something else I want to say, if I may.
Well, hold on. Hold that thought. Just write it down, please. I want to hear it. But I want him to make sure I just articulated his heart right. Maybe I was off. So I want him to comment on what I just said, and then I want you to have last words, and then you can go ahead and bring up whatever else you want to say, if you don't mind, please. Brother Gabriel, go right ahead.
You're kind of correct. I was born and raised in so-called Christian beliefs. It was so messed up by me that I almost became a Muslim. So I was so lost in my identity that I was seeking the truth, but I was seeking it in the wrong way. And what I became enlightened about 10 years ago, but I was still dumbfounded. Because I used to think we was Hamitic or Japhetic. Basically, I know we Shemitic. And when the Jew is said it's Semitic, that actually is anti-Semitic because it's basically, I don't want to do this today. I'm sorry for the interjection, though. Because she probably don't want to research because everything I bring up is very researchable if she gets attacked. But she was trying to say something about the Holocaust. True of the Holocaust, where Jews were sacrificed, key word, sacrificed, by so-called Jewish. Because if you do key research, this weird me out, found this out in the last few months, that Hitler himself, as you say, your mother was Jewish, his mother was Jewish. So, and basically he was following his leadership. His leadership, which was the Rothschild family, a high Jewish family that runs the whole world, but most people probably don't know, they gave him orders to do those things. They put in Stalin and a whole bunch of other people in, like, when the Tsars in Russia were not doing what they wanted them to do, they put in other leadership and cut off their supplies and other things like that. Like Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Jackson, those two are the greatest presidents. Why? Not because of what they know about them, it's because of what they did to the bank. The bank was the Rothschild family and the Rockefellers through female lineage. So the Rockefellers come from the Rothschild from the female line. So that's, I learned all this stuff. Then, if you do research, she'll find out who started and financed both sides of most wars since 1690, I believe. It was the so-called Jewish family of the Rothschilds, whose name was changed from Meyer Amschel. I forgot how to say his last name, but he changed his name to Rothschild because his father had the hexagram, which is the highest pagan symbol, on his thing, and he turned it was a red family. So Rothschild break down to Red Shield or Red something, I forget. It's basically Red Shield, I believe.
Okay.
So I'm sorry if I brought in something that wasn't necessary, but I learned a lot of stuff.
Brother Gabriel. Gabriel, you're breaking up. Oh, okay, you coughing. Why are you clearing your throat? Angela, can you respond to that?
You know, it's very frustrating when one party assumes that he knows so much about the other. It's so frustrating. He knows nothing.
Do you find what he's saying just frustrating?
Well, just
or is
because
it,
you have every reason in the world to be offended does not give you the right.
Hello?
It pisses me off. Completely pisses me off.
Okay, hold on, Brother Gabriel. Okay, now, Sister Angela, let's do this. Let me just ask you specific questions about what he said. You said just because he got the answers, the right to be upset, you said just because he got the answers to be upset, doesn't mean he has the
right
to.
No, that's not what I said. If you're going to quote me correctly. Just because he has every reason to be offended does not give him the right to be offended. Just because
that's
he has every reason in the world, let me finish. Just because you have every reason in the world to harm someone or kill someone does not give you the right to do so. I mean, just it really irritates me. All your callers are very anti-white, or you know, they're assuming my background, my education, when they don't know shit. They don't.
Okay,
I don't assume that about them.
Well, hold on. First of all, You can't say all your callers, Angela. And you just said just because you can, don't give you the right to do it. So this same rule apply to you. First of all, it ain't been all my calls. I ain't had but two, you and this gentleman. So
no, the other time I was on your show, I'm talking about my personal experience.
Well, all I'm saying to you is this. I hear what you're saying. But at some point, we got to stop and think about, let's play this movie. Let's look at Brother Gabriel. Let's look at Brother Gabriel. Now, you upset. Hold on a second, Brother Gabriel. You upset every bit of, we've been talking, 10 minutes? Now, I know you don't want to think about this right now, because when people upset, they just care about their emotions at the moment. Everybody do that. But you got to look at the big picture. And this brother.
That he's an emotional man? That he's obviously emotional man?
Hold on, I'm going to let you talk. You're going to get the mic big time here. But just let me get this one little thing out. Pain. Right now you're experiencing it on a smaller scale, but you feel, you got your rights to feel the way you feel, and we hear you. We hear you loud and clear. We sympathize with you to some degree. What I'm saying is, this brother have lived a life, if I don't know every single thing about him, but most black people that are studying this and that are passionate about this message, it's because they feel duped. Some of them are so old, they're about to pass away. They lived their whole life thinking they were second, third class, only to find out that this book is full of their ancestors. I want you to think about this for a second, Angela. I sympathize with you. You know, I feel what you're saying. I don't like to see nobody in any kind of pain. I'm not one to say, that's right, get her. Get that white girl. No, I ain't on that tip at all. Forget it. That's somebody else. I feel what you're saying, but I want you to feel what we're saying. Because if you see our Holocaust, which some people say a hell of a cost, over 100 million in the Middle Passage, and our young men put in prison for the trivial little things, and we, our mothers without their boys, and when they come out, I just had my nephew to get out of prison just 2 days ago, and he was supposed to have went down to prison for 2 years, and this boy was down there for 6 years. Little stuff. I told you what he did, you wouldn't even believe he went to prison for it. If I told you what he did, you wouldn't even believe he went to prison for it. So what I'm saying to you, Angela, is our people are suffering because people look at them as sub. If they will leave our identity intact, we'd have the respect, even the respect that Israel gets. They act a fool in the Gaza Strip. They act a fool with their foreign policy towards their neighbors and stuff. And the world loves them. Why? They're the people of the Most High. That is our place. These people have stolen our birthright. This conversation is like a court, if you will, to kind of weigh out and just see exactly, are we just smoking on something, or are we biblically sound? That's what this conversation is about. Is Brother Seth on to something? Can you share with me, Angela, how we're terribly wrong and that we need to hear it your way? And if you can't do that, we're talking about the theft of the birthright of a nation. There's people that will probably shed bloodshed over this. This is major. Can you imagine what a thug would do that have already killed a lot of people and find out that he is Israelite? Maybe he won't turn crazy, but I'm just saying, please understand the passion on both sides here, okay? That's all I'm asking the both of y'all. Please understand the pain that we're going through as a people. This is serious.
Everyone has pain. Maybe different strengths, different depths of despair. But everyone has that. Now, if you want to find your identity, you start defining your boundaries. boundaries define you. They let you know who you are. You let someone else define those boundaries. Then they become restrictions, and you find yourself in a prison, be it a real prison or a prison of your mind. You know, I look at those type of things, and I understand about the identity. My youngest daughter, she's half Native American. And there's a lot of people that go around here saying, oh, well, I'm this tribe, I'm that tribe, you know, let me heal you. And, you know, charlatans are different tribes professing that they need to have their federal recognition when they're not even a part of the main tribe. You know, I've worked with a different number of tribes where I live, and it drives me nuts, you know, just crazy, insane, you know. So I understand that being stolen. I understand that. What was the question you had?
You just said something that's key to me. You said, I understand. Do you really understand?
Yes, I do. You know, I think things are up for debate. And debate and rhetoric are two different things. And I think most people don't understand that. You know, logic, debate, rhetoric, you know, all these are different. You know, I think a lot of things are up for debate. I think a lot of things could be argued. I'm still learning quite a bit, and I never said I knew it all. I was not raised to be a Jew. I wasn't raised that way. But there's a lot of power in my family, as I've told you before. You know, I understand about the banks and all that, and, you know, we've had our own shield in France, and we've done things that I don't think are quite right in my family background. I know they're not. You know, I hear about, you know, things they're doing now that I don't think are right.
But Sister Angela, yeah. You know what? You called the show last week. And you
said
you're
by accident.
Hold on. You said you're going to Africa. And when you get to Africa, you're going to speak out against these vaccinations that's killing a lot of our people. That
right,
is the best you can do. Listen, you said you know your people have done some things wrong. What you got to do is make it right. Look, hear me out. You said you know your people have done something wrong. Brother Gabriel don't go nowhere yet. You said you know that your people have done some things wrong. You just Hear me out. You just can't say that casually. That means bloodshed. Maybe your people is responsible for hundreds of thousands of blood that was shed. You just can't haphazardly kind of chastise when we find out about that and just not understand our pain when we start yelling, this brother ain't slap you, he don't know where you live, he can't do any harm to you after we hang up in like 30 minutes. That's it. The least he could do is just say, I'm upset with you. I mean, I think he's doing very well. I'm being very honest. I know that as a talk show host, there ain't nobody going to listen to me if I come off like he do. I know. It's just, I want you to stay around to hear truth, but I feel exactly as he do. I want you to hold on a second because there's somebody that I want to that want to speak on this matter, and I want the both of y'all to stay on the line if y'all don't mind. Can y'all hold, please? I don't want y'all to go anywhere if you don't mind.
But you you must have heard that I've taken a lot of crap from some of your callers, especially the last time, when they didn't know my background, you know, or I didn't spend the first 3 years of my life with my parents because it was too dangerous to be with them. They were in the civil rights movement, you know.
You know, in all due respect, Angela, in all due respect, my callers was trying to get you to come on their show. They were saying you really enlightened them. I think you're giving them a bad rap.
I tried hard. You know, I've lost my temper.
Well, we're going to get another person on the line here, and we want to hear what they have to say about this matter because I want to give everybody a time to speak, okay? But I just want you to know, please be very honest. Our people, the people on this show, was very humble last week when they spoke
to you.
I'm calling someone.
Okay, I got you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, Miss Epic, I am Epic. Are you there?
For reservations, visit our website at Homestead Hotel.
Hold on one second.
Special discounts may be available. Or to speak to our
hold on one second. I got the wrong number here.
You may dial
her. Sorry about that. We'll try that again. She
gave me a number, but that number didn't work. She's in the chat room and says she can't call. And so what we try to do for our guests as a courtesy, mm-hmm. we'll give them a call. I can't dial her extension from this angle, so I apologize. Let's try it again, folks. Let's just try it again. One moment, please. She was wanting to chime in to the both of you, so I figured I would just as a courtesy.
Thank you for calling Homestead Studio Suite
okay.
Hotel.
And then she is at
visit
one
our
one.
Website at home. Please hold on while I try that extension.
Okay, let's see if we can get it. She's probably at work, but she's coming.
At 1154.
Hold on one second.
Shalom,
my sister. Is this I Am Epic?
Yes, Brother Seth. Let me turn my radio or my computer down.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry about that you weren't able to call. We won't get into that. But go ahead and make your comment. We got Brother Gabriel on the line. I didn't mute him. And we got Angela on the line. I didn't mute her. So the three of you on the line. So we got to really follow instructions here. So if you don't mind, go ahead and comment, and I'll mute you, and we'll hang up on with you and let them, the two of them finish what they was trying to say. Okay? Go ahead.
I don't think I had a very specific comment, Brother Seth. I just wanted to, I think at that particular moment when I was in the chat room, I can't even remember very specifically what was going on, except that I think it was during
Well, what were some of the things you
were
saying
moment.
In the chat room? What were some of the things you were saying in the chat room? Because they can't see your chat, I don't think. Maybe one of them is online and on the phone. So just go ahead and share some of the things you were saying. Because I noticed you said things like, somebody don't have a clue, and something you were saying. So just share whatever you was wanting to say in the chat room.
Angela had asked, what is the passion in your voice? And that was one of the comments I made, was just the passion of the Israelites, what's in our blood. I mean, that's why we are the chosen ones, because that's what's in our soul. That's our honor to go out and teach and to share and to learn. That's why we take our Bible studies very seriously. And, you know, our noses are always in the books and the scriptures and learning something and sharing with each other so that we can go back out and, you know, bring as many people to the Most High as we can. Because you know all the scriptures, Brother says, so you'll have to quote those specifically. But I think it was the Jeremiah 33 one where...
covenant I will make with you and your house.
I think so. Is that the word he's saying that it's in us? Like, let me look.
You put, but thou shalt be the covenant that I will. But this will be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said Yah. I will put my law in the inner parts and write in their heart, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people.
Yes, that's it.
Well, you know, and what she's saying, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's the bloodline aspect of it, but then there's our hearts, you know, and the passion. And, you know, that's where the Most High put it, you know, based on that scripture, is in our hearts.
And I think you wanted her email. I don't know if she wanted to share that on the air, but if you want to, Angela, you can get her email. That is something you typed in the chat room, Miss Epic. So if y'all want to, you want to give it to, you give her yours or however
it's
way.
Okay, I just asked that so we could send her that reminder for the show that she asked for.
Okay.
I was wondering if you
okay.
had her email.
Well,
I was going to just fire it off for you.
Yeah. Well, Angela, do you have anything to say with the comment she just made? Or if you don't mind, then we'll let her.
Well, I don't have anything to say about her comments. You know, just
okay.
You are so passionate about what you believe, and sometimes there's a trigger or something that made us that passionate, and I just wanted to hear what that was back then. And
well,
I could tell a lot about you.
Yeah, well, we should be passionate about the things we care about, and before I go on further, in about another 6 seconds,
We're going to lose everybody that's listening online. Y'all need to call the 760 number. Y'all know how this works. But in about 6 seconds, we're going to lose all y'all. Those that can't call that number, thank you for listening, but we will lose you. But we're going to continue this conversation as long as it goes. And so just know that. Please call the 760-283-0838 and join in, and we're going to finish this up. Okay. Now, one thing I want to ask you, I am Epic, before you on, and then we're going to let Brother Gabriel jump in here as well. You've been listening to the show quite a bit. Do you think I'm racist?
Not at all.
Me?
So why am I? I know you just kind of hit it a little bit. So you listen to a lot of so-called black people talk about this over and over again on this show. Why do you think they are so upset?
You asking me that? Still?
I'm asking, I am Epic there.
Okay.
Is it just as a
whole?
Is it right? Yeah, as a whole. I mean, you think it's something that we
as
should...
As a whole, yes, I'm upset. And I don't, and I'm not, I haven't even experienced one thousandth of what the black race has experienced in America alone, let alone go back further. I mean, the suppression and the racism, and I mean, it is like nothing that most white people can ever imagine, ever. And it's not okay. So you know what? If he wants to be upset, and Brother Gabriel wants to declare how much he knows, and because I'm sure he's done a lot of study and he should be proud of that, let him declare it. Because you know, as a general rule, white people act like black people are not as intelligent. You know, he doesn't know Angela. He has no idea who she is. She's just this, you know, she's on the, you know, she's popped into the, in here. And so he got defensive, or he wanted to declare, I don't think he was defensive. He just wanted to declare that he knew what he was talking about. Well, let him declare it if that's what he wants to do, because he deserves that right, in my opinion, because we have suppressed the black race so much. I haven't, you know, I mean, Angela probably hasn't, you know, I mean, it may not be us, but as a general rule, it's happened and it has to be acknowledged.
Yeah. Well, listen, Miss I Am Epic, I always enjoy your comments and your chat. I'm going to go.
Don't hang up on me, because I can't hear the show if you hang up on me.
Oh, okay,
if you hang
okay,
me
my
up.
Bad, my bad. No, I'm going to mute
okay.
you.
Okay, perfect.
We'll leave you unmuted. How about that? We'll leave you unmuted. Just know we got three people talking here. Okay, Brother Gabriel, you've been quiet for a while. Go ahead and chime in. Any thoughts, comments, and then we'll hear from Sister Angela.
Well, I'm sorry if it seemed like I was going against her. I wasn't attacking her in no way. I was going in her understanding. Like, I lacked understanding, like there's a host of influence in my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I was sharing knowledge because the words say also, every word is a judge from you, so what I tell you, I had to research and verify as best as to my capabilities. So I wasn't attacking her in personal or nothing like that. So I apologize if she felt that way. That is not my mission or my objective. I was just trying to clarify falsehood, because I live the falsehood. My people live the falsehood. Like, for instance, my mother recently found out some of the truth. She's getting on it. She's like, I'm going to sell some person. I smoke marijuana. And she said, if I stop smoking marijuana, she'll follow me. It shocked me because it sounds funny. It sounds like some people would take the Messiah. I'm not trying to be like the Messiah. But when I present to people, it's nothing but the truth. And I don't defend a lie. I represent the truth. That's what I was trying to do. So if I came off negatively or something like that, I apologize to you and her and all the listeners. But my object was, as I have learned, I want to teach also. So if I did something wrong, I'm going to stay wrong, because if the teaching, the truth is wrong, I got to stay wrong, because I got to be in the Most High, first begotten Son image, a true speaker. So,
let me say this, and then I want Angela, if she don't mind, if she want to, that is, a comment. But listen, I try to step in the shoes of everybody and try to figure what they're thinking. The good thing about being at the bottom of society, you have got to know your oppressor. we have to know how white people think because they pay us. They're our landlords. They rule over us, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. I don't care if you're in business for yourself, you still got to report to people that vastly look more than different than you. And so we have got to know how to talk around them. We got to know their culture. We got to know, okay, I can talk like this at home, but I can't talk like this at work. We got to know certain things you don't say. We got to know what offend them. We got to know how far. We got to know even some of the things they like. Some of us even turn into little entertainers for them, so we even know what they laugh at. So we got to know the people that rule over us. On the other hand, they don't have to know squat about us, and in most cases, unfortunately, they don't. And I'm grouping the entire people. In most cases, they don't. They don't have to know. So I feel just by that fact right there alone, that's a universal rule no matter where you go. The oppressor don't have to understand the oppressed. The oppressed must understand the oppressor or they can't survive. So having said that, please, not just Sister Angela, because Sister Angela ain't the only one that feel this way. Listen to this program. We got all kinds of people listening to this program that vehemently agree with her. Some of them vehemently disagree with her. So even though I'm talking to Sister Angela per se, we're not talking to just her. It's a lot of people that feel this way. They don't understand why y'all so angry. Why y'all always talking about this Hebrew thing every Sunday? What's going on? We have found out that our birthright has been stolen. We have been given a phony birthright, an inferior birthright. It has produced all kinds of problems with our psyche. We don't even support each other. Black don't support black. We rather support white people. We don't support our own institutions, our own colleges, our own business. We don't have a Chase Bank. They say if black people kept the money, their money that they made on their hard-earned jobs, if they spent it among their people four times, if it exchanged hands to four different people, every paycheck, if it exchanged hands to four different people, that blacks would be the sixth wealthiest nation in the world. That's how much money that the so-called black population is generating in the world. See, I'm talking about African Americans, not the world blacks. I'm talking about African Americans, the sixth largest economy of the world. And you cannot tell that because we're mere consumerists. We just make everybody else rich. Because why? Of this inferior mentality.
Yep.
We have self-hate is what the psychologist calls it. So all of this we find out is because of our identity, what we think we are. What is black? Most people would define it as some silly and stupid, or give them high-fiving and all this stuff. You know, our culture, and everything started with these dark people. I'm not talking about African Americans. Now I'm talking about the dark people of the world. Civilization comes from the dark-skinned, brown-colored people that the Most High made out of the dust of the earth. Dust-colored people is responsible for science and the math of the world and the philosophies of the world and everything. Everything found its foundation upon Africa. And here we are acting like animals in this country, and we don't know why. So that's what you hear. The brother is probably not mad enough. I'm probably not mad enough. Maybe Malcolm X approach is a better approach. Maybe the Black Panthers had it right. I mean, after all, everybody own guns. I think most black people I don't even own guns. But I guarantee if I ask you, Sister Angela, or you, I am picked, most white people y'all know have weapons. So here we are talking about a people that is oftentimes portrayed as the most violent people, but yet they don't even own weapons in the end because we can't afford it. So I'm saying there's a lot of hatred on us as a people. And we get on these little block shows, and it's all we got. Angela, Epic, Gabrielle, this is all we got, these little blogs. I mean, we got the Most High for sure. That's all we need. But I'm saying, as far as a voice, you're only going to hear stuff like this on Blog Talk. NBC ain't going to allow it. Those black people, they're all little cartoons. You can just erase them with a pencil. They're just little phonies. They're not real. The churches, they're not real. Most of these churches, they're afraid they're going to lose money if they start talking about who the real Israelites are. And a lot of these pastors know the truth. So where are you going to hear this stuff at? On Blog Talk. You're hearing the bona fide truth on Blog Talk. That brother just emptied his soul to you. And a little emotion come out. Angela, it's the least you can do is understand that. Now, what I suggest you do, and all of y'all, and me, and anybody else listening on the sound of my voice, if you really believe what we're saying is truth, push it. White people need to start telling white people about this, and white people need to start telling black people about this. Because a lot of our black brothers and sisters, they're so poisoned. Sister I am Epic, and Angela and Brother Gabriel, some of our people are so poisoned, they ain't gonna believe nobody black. I'm nothing to them. They hear my voice, and they're gone. But when a white person says, Sister Angela, you can open up a blog right next door to my blog, so to speak, and preach the same thing, and I bet you will have 800 followers in probably less than a year. That's how sick we are as a people. So that you write, there's something in my voice. Anyway, I've been talking a while. Sister Angela, if you haven't hung up on me, please comment. Please comment.
Well, I think what can make us different from animals is that we have the ability to communicate. And I realized that he apologized, but he did start out with a, you know, he was blaming. He was, it wasn't nice what he was saying in the very beginning. And once you say something like that, once you slam me, I'm not going to listen as well. You know, we need to be smarter in the way we communicate. And I did lose my temper, and I can apologize for that. And it's true. If I started a blog, more people would listen to me than you. And then you have found with the people that are listening to you. I have a friend. She has a blog. It's a really big-ass blog. She gets over 1 million hits a day. A day. And she's got her own Food Network. She got a show on Food Network now. But if she had darker skin, I'm sure that would not have happened. There's no doubt in my mind that it would not have happened. But you said so many different things. I'm not even for sure where I want to start commenting on. I don't know. There's been so much pain in this.
Let me just pose some question at you. And this ain't the Angela fashion show. It's just that you call in, and I don't want to, because that can be inferiority all by itself to sit up and let everything evolve around you, and that's not what I'm trying to do here. But you disagree with the angle we're going, so it's just obviously you would get more attention. So let me ask you a question, okay? Having said what I said, do you understand the anger?
Oh, I understand the anger. And when I have called in, I haven't said anything about the way they were talking to me or at me. You know, I called in by accident last time, and I thought, well, this sounds interesting. I'll listen a little bit more, and, you know, you put me on. I hadn't had my little hand up or anything, but it was very interesting to me, and I like to learn. I love to learn. You know, and some of the things that you're saying, it's valid, especially about the prison. I mean, there's this one woman that was in my friend's life. I had her fired from her job, and I had her put in jail. All because I knew the right people. It is so easy to destroy a person and much harder to build a person up. You know, I know you say that I sound casual and everything about it, but that's...
Well, hold on a second. You said you had a person fired and put in jail?
Yeah, I did, but it was on her own stuff. She had done some things wrong. I just happened to know about it, and I made a few calls, and within 24 hours, she was behind bars. You know, if you do something that's illegal, you should at least cover up the evidence.
Money's power.
And she made it really easy for me. My daughter's father, I've had him arrested 6 times. And he still to this day does not know it's me. You know, I know where he would drink, and I would just have some cops follow him. And rather than face him in court, I could have him arrested. And it made my life a lot easier. He chose to drink and drive.
Now, just on what you just said. Now I want to ask you a question.
I know the trifling and all that, but trying to protect my daughter the best way I know.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Now, just on what you just said, I don't know your life, and really it ain't my business. But can you imagine, unless you're the smartest person on your side of the United States, I would think that there's a lot of people that can do exactly what you did. But do you know, in order for me to do something like that, what kind of strings I have to pull? I don't even know. Of, you probably made how many phone calls when you had both of those things done?
Just one for her father. And I had to call the vice president of the company that lady worked for. She was fired.
Okay.
And then I made another phone call to a detective that I knew. And he just got the wheels rolling, and she was behind bars.
Well, what I'm saying,
and
you made three phone calls. You made three phone calls. I bet you money, if I tried to do the same exact thing, it'll take me 16 phone calls. What I'm trying to say
it
to you
probably
is
would
this,
even happen.
I don't think, I think I Am Epic said it earlier. Something to the effect that you don't understand. I just don't think, I think sometimes white people, I mean, I wish there was a way that they could be black, but I don't even know. Even if you could be black, okay, so what, you're black for a day?
There was a book. It was called Black Like Me. That is a really good book, by the way.
Well, listen, what I'm saying is we're talking about some 1,000 times more serious than somebody going to jail and all that, obviously. But what I'm saying is we are very, very serious over here at Five Smooth Stones and a bunch of these other blogs that talk about this subject. Mm-hmm. We are serious. This is serious, serious business. We are losing our relatives, and a lot of them never come into this knowledge. We're finding out. Some of us have found out late in life that we are the true people of the book. Angela, when I say we're the people of the book, I believe from Genesis to Maps, those people are dark-skinned people. I do not believe any white people are in the Bible as a nation. I do believe white people are in the Bible, but not as a nation. And I can prove it very, very easy. If you listen to the leprosy series I've done, Bible leprosy, where I talk about
thought. But I never even thought to look at it from that angle.
That's because you're
probably
white.
Probably not, because everything is white. You don't have to look
but, you
like
know, what
that.
I think of the Hebrew people, you know, the Bible, I see them more of like a dark tan, a very dark tan.
Well,
you know, I was
somebody thinks
always
like
was
you
raised
they,
with,
well, it just, it's
my
that
father
much
would tell me there's 37 different shades of black. That, you know, I can't look at everything as just one thing or the other. Not, you know, there's always a middle. There's always a spectrum. You know, not to look at one, from one extreme to the other. There's more than two extremes.
And it sounds like your dad was wise in that. He taught you,
mm-hmm, he was.
You know, that. However, I think when we're talking about this particular subject, can you imagine being... Your whole race being suppressed. If the table was turned and it was us, if it was the white people that this was happening to in America, you know, that's bad enough. When you suppress a person, let alone an entire race of people, and you just do the horrible things that we've done in this country to the black people, that's horrible in itself. Now, can you imagine actually? Getting in the history books now that we have internet and being a young black person or just a black person in general, and you're researching, and all of a sudden you come across in history, you put this dot together with that dot, and oh my gosh, we are the chosen ones, and we are treated like this on top of it. It's just like adding, you know, salt to the wound. It's bad enough already, and now it's like... I don't know. It's like you just, that stripped away from them too. I can't wait for the whole world to know it, you know? But then there's a whole, you know, there's the whole lesson in that, you know, we read earlier in that Jeremiah 33. It's not just being a black person doesn't make you a you know, an Israelite or a chosen one. It's got to be in your heart, you know? And I'm obviously not black, you know? And, so it's not about black or white, and Brother Seth isn't racist, and I missed the show, and I wish I've only listened a little bit of it today trying to catch up, but, you know, he is the one person that I have found that just rings true and true with the truth in spreading love and not racism, you know, because that's not the message that you get in most of the
what?
Other practices or shows that you listen to on here.
Well, I appreciate that, Sister Epic. I really do. And I try hard, and I try my best not to be an Uncle Tom either. I'm not trying to appease white people for the sake of just having some white people on my show. I mean, I try to tell the truth, and I just feel like if you tell the truth, white people will come. After all, check this out, y'all. Brother Gabriel, you still there, right? Brother Gabriel?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Okay, you still there? But check this out. The things that I've learned, most of these things I've learned, a lot of them was taught to me by white people. Go figure that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is the Most High is about heart. The true Jew is a spiritual Jew. I mean, that is who the Most High is looking for, the spiritual Jew. In other words, those that are after him by their heart. He never did want just little old Israel. You think he only wanted little old Abraham? He wants the whole planet. He never, ever, ever, ever wanted just Israel, Abraham's descendants. It's just that man pleased him, and he promised to bless his descendants, and that's how the whole Israel thing happened. But the spiritual Jew is far more important than the natural Jew. But he did say in Romans 11, has the Most High, is he done with the natural Jew? Is this it? Is it now only about the spiritual Jew? And he goes on to say, no, there remaineth a remnant because of the election. So all I'm saying, folks, and we're going to wrap this up, we're going to wrap this show up, but all I'm saying is the Most High is not done with natural Jew. He has resurrected the true Israelites, is a better word. He has resurrected the Israelites. They have been awakened. That is the valley of the dry bones. They were very dry. They was very dry. It wasn't that they was just dead. They're very dry. They're dry knowledge. They're dry. They're dead in spiritual state. And this knowledge is coming. It's resurrecting the true house of Israel. There's Israelites all over the nation. Igbo Jews, Shanti Jews, Limba Jews. They're in Australia. They're in China. All across the world, the real Israelites is awakening. Those people that came from Russia, and all due respect, love, and honor for them. I'm not just playing. I respect them as humans, but they, biblically speaking, they're lacking. The only people I recognize white as Jews is those black Jews that went up north due to being enslaved by the whites that come down from the north. According to Jeremiah 1, those blacks was enslaved by whites, took up to Europe, and they mixed and mixed over the hundreds of years. That black gene ain't that strong, and it came out being white. So, yes, some of those white Jews are authentic bloodline Israel, but that's a small portion. Because of the dominancy of the black gene, that's a small portion. Vast majority of Israel is scattered and non-white. So this is not to put nobody down. It's just try to understand what the Most High is doing. And last, I'm going to say this. There's the other reasons that this is important because black folks have this anger towards themselves. They have this massive self-hate that is just amazingly evil towards each other. This information will help us to understand why we are suffering. It'll help us, you know, help us. It'll help our relationship. Y'all, please hear these words I'm about to say. Just if you just will just please hear me out. Give me 1 minute to get this out. But we have a hatred towards each other as a people. We don't like each other subconsciously. I'm not talking about consciously. I'm saying look at the behavior among black people. How can a black man shoot another black man over a pair of tennis shoes? That is crazy. You don't see it in the white community. So what I'm saying is that's another reason this needs to go forth, so we can understand why we act the way we act, why we're going through what we're going through. With my mother with me as a child, if I didn't know why, I held bitterness against her. But if she showed me why I was getting a whipping, if she showed me why she was putting that belt in my butt, then I understood. It might have been painful, but it helped me understood in the long run what she was about. That's how we look at the Most High. We're getting spanked and beaten and whipped and don't know why, and it's making us look crazy at the Most High. And a lot of us do not want a relationship with this Elohim, with this being. We don't want it with Yah. We don't want this relationship with him. So that's why this information needs to go forth. The God, the fighting in the Gaza Strip will end once this knowledge is household knowledge. How can you be fighting over land and having the whole world know it's not neither one of y'all? Some kind of way that fight is just going to dwindle away. You fighting, both of y'all fighting over something that's not neither one of y'all. Some kind of way Israel is going to back off because Israel is instigating it. Once they find out who the true Jews are, even the president of that nation might think to resign because he's a joke. You're not the true Jews. So what are you fighting over this land for? Why are you presiding over this land? And then the nations of the world is going to start crying out for the real Jews to run that country. That's why Israel is going to come back to that nation and rule without bloodshed. It's going to be the pressures from other countries saying, y'all are not the real Jews, why are you running this land? And why are y'all fighting the Gaza Strip? Not to mention the last thing is we will get crazy respect from the nations of the world. We won't need a dime. The nations of the world will finance us. The nations of the world will look out for us. The nation of the world will fight for us because everybody wants to be on the Most High side. This is some of the reasons why this information needs to go forward. Listen, I'm going to give every one of y'all the last few minutes to just say something, whatever's on your mind, and then we'll go. We'll hang up. Well, Brother Gabriel, why don't you go first, please?
Well, I say shalom to those in the, that's on the phone, Barakatah. All praises to Ahaya in the name of Yeshaya. And pretty much that's it. Well, I have what? That's it. Y'all have a blessed night.
All right. Okay, and Sister, go ahead, Sister Angela.
I have nothing to say. I did not call you a racist. That's for certain.
Okay. All right, Sister, I am Epic.
What did...
Last words, any last words?
I know, I was trying to figure out what Angela just said. Was that that you didn't call him a racist?
Who was that addressed to, Mr.
Angela? I did not call him a racist.
Yeah. Who are you talking to?
I was talking to Angela. I couldn't hear her.
Angela, who did you address that to, Angela?
To her, to Epic, that I had not referred to you as a racist, other than some of your callers have been very difficult on me.
So. Okay,
you
Angela.
You get to know Brother Seth. Angela,
Epic,
if you stick in here with us, you'll get to know Brother Seth, and that is one thing that is something that you'll hear him say over and over. Nobody called him a racist. He's the most wonderful non-racist man.
I never said.
However, he will declare that 3 to 5 times a show, depending on the topic. Sometimes, you know, because you know, I don't know. We get kind of.
No, I am Epic. She said that she didn't call you a racist. I think she's insinuating. I'll let her explain that, but I think she was talking to you, not me.
She had referred. Epic had referred to me, Angela, that I had referred to you, Seth, as a racist, and I had not. Now, I don't mind being quoted or called for what I am, but make certain it's correct.
Yeah. That is just something, that's why I was saying that's just something that you, Brother Seth, that's something that you do when you're making a point about things because race is such a topic in our country, you know? I don't think that he thought necessarily that you called him one, you know?
No, you had said that.
You the last thing that you said. The last thing you said was that you didn't call him one? That's what I was asking you.
Because
yeah,
you had definitely made it sound like as if I had.
Yeah. Well, I think we all got it now. So she's just saying that she didn't call him racist. But listen, honest, guys, I'm very serious. I should say, guys, I got a quick thing. I get that from the office. But I really, really thank y'all for listening. And, Angela, I still, if you don't mind, I'll call you and try to have you on Thursday to talk about the vaccination. We still want to know more about that. Please, please. You just got to know. I know how you might feel because we have just blasted you, seem like. But our heart is with you. If you listen to our heart and not our mouth, that's what people need to do more. Listen to what our heart is saying. I tell my wife that all the time. Sometimes words is poor conveyors of what we mean. We're just trying to become a nation again, and it's hard, and it's looking like it's never going to happen, and we might die before we see it. Brother Gabriel, I don't know what age he is, but looking at this thing, we're trying to resurrect our people, and then we have somebody come on who's a part of the people that have robbed us and just casually says things, and it rubs us the wrong way. It don't mean no harm to you per se. Like I Am Epic said, you might not have done nothing to nobody. You last I heard, you're trying to go to Africa to try to correct something on our people. So we owe you. You know that's good to do that, but at the same time, you owe us. Don't you think? Well, I don't mean to ask another question. Keep going, but
I owe humanity.
I would think. Well, if somebody comes in your house, Angela, somebody comes in your house, take all of your belongings, and you find out where they live, and you go knock on their door, and they close the door in your face, and then later on they come back into your house and put it back. I mean, you don't feel like you owe them.
I owe humanity, and I did get robbed last month, and I have found out who is responsible for it, and they will not go to jail. Something else will happen to them because, unfortunately, I have a vindictive nature.
Angela, you talked about your friend with the blog that's on the TV, right? And she's got so many users and all this stuff, right?
Yeah,
think about
name.
It. She because of that, and because so many people, you know, because of that position she's in, she has to be more responsible because of the influence that she has, right? And because of the power that she, I mean, there's a responsibility there. And to me, it's my responsibility. What?
People would like to think that, but that's not absolutely correct.
Well, if she's depending on where she is in her heart, I mean, I think when we have that many people listening to us, we have a responsibility, you know, to really think about our words twice. I was just trying to use that as an example because, you know, I'm humbled to be here, and I'm humbled inside of this place where I will, you know, I have a responsibility, or it's the right thing for me in some kind of way to do, to bite my tongue, and I don't deserve to be the first one out of the gates to be entitled or angry here by any means. I have never lived, we have never experienced what the black culture has experienced by any means. By any means, most white people cannot fathom it. What?
Because you're not black. I mean,
the suppression is what I'm so passionate about. Is that it's not a good thing in America. That's why they hate each other. They hate us. I mean, you wouldn't want to live like that. I mean, it's not okay what goes on inside of this country. In a lot of ways, to women and to different ones. I mean, black people are just the ones that have gotten such a huge piece of it. But I mean, it's not just. You know, there's other subsets. All I'm saying is that it's my responsibility. I'm glad to do that.
Country. It never has been.
I know. Believe me.
Yeah, I don't owe just one race. I owe humanity.
That's right.
That's
what I'm saying to you, Angela, is this. You can keep saying that, and you can die saying that. You can never change if you want to. But I'm saying if somebody stole from you, I went to Israel the other year, I went to 2008, so it's been 3 years, and I walked up to this rabbi who was trying to get everybody's attention. He was trying to spread the gospel or whatever he was trying to spread. Nobody was paying him no mind. People were just taking his little paperwork and just acting like they was about to throw it away as soon as he gave it to him. He wasn't getting no play at all from people. So here I am. I was dying to talk to him. He looked at me, and he walked away and kept trying to pass out these leaflets to everybody else. We're going to wrap this up, but just real quickly, and then we'll wrap this up.
Difference.
I tried to get that man to talk to me, and he wouldn't. Finally, I said, you know what? I'm not going to leave his little podium where all his other papers are stacked until he talked to me. So I stood right by the little podium with all his other papers, and that man had to come back to that podium at some point. I want y'all to hear what I'm saying. Please, please. When he finally came to the podium, this is what he said to me, everybody.
Oh, so what's your son, football player, basketball player, something like that? Well, that was offensive right there.
Yeah.
So you know what I said to him, Angela?
What did you
say? I said, no, I'm just one of the original Israelites that was scattered from our homeland into various parts of the world, and I just come home to see how much it has changed. This is what that boy did, that man did. He looked down like he was, is somebody hearing me talking about? Anyway, he said he looked down in shame, and he did not lift his head. I stared at him for about 30 seconds. That's a long time to stare at somebody. And I walked away, and I walked about 40 feet and looked back at him, and he was still looking down at the ground in shame. You see, what he is participating in is a theft of culture and birthright. You need to see what happened when us African Israelites walk up on that wailing wall. We show up in like 50 strong. We have our own tour guide. You need to see what happened at that wailing wall to understand what we're talking about here today. There is a look of being caught with the jewels in your hand. There's a look of, uh-oh, there go the real ones. I'm literally, people leave their tour to follow our tour to see what we're saying. I don't mean follow it all together, but they kind of listen, try to listen to what our tour guide is saying. So what I'm trying to say is, when you go to Israel and you go with somebody like us, you can sense that sense of thievery a little stronger than we are here doing this blog. I'm telling you, those people are part of the greatest theft of birthright there ever was. And, yes, they owe Black America. They owe African Americans. You might not feel it. Maybe you feel like you didn't do anything. But this is the other thing I would say. If you don't want to pay anything back and you don't feel like you owe us nothing, quit benefiting from the name unless you can prove that you're Israel yourself. If you say, Seth, I know I am, I'll have to ask, fine. Then, okay, fine. But we just talked about some serious scriptures. If I were you and I think you are a godly woman, or you're a woman after the Most High's heart, I would assume, then you should study the scriptures. If you find yourself to be Jewish or an Israelite, continue living your life as an Israelite. But if you're not, don't steal the birthright. Don't enjoy the benefits of being Jewish. Don't involve anything your family got from being Jewish. Any type of connections and networks you got from being Jewish, abandon them. That would be a rightful thing to do, and then you will not be partaking of the thievery. But if you do partake of the thievery, then I feel like you and whoever is else doing that is going to suffer. And I'm as serious as I can be. They are going to pay. They are going to pay. They are going to pay. It may be your children or your children's children. And this is all I'm saying. It's like a warning. But you don't have to worry if you're really Jewish. If you feel like, Brother Seth, I've heard you, but I don't know if I can trust your studies. Okay, you got a leg to stand on. But we shared some strong scriptures here. And you've listened for more than 1 week. And I would admonish you to listen to some of the previous archives on proof of Black biblical Jews. And if you say, you know what, I've heard all of their teachings, and I still feel like I'm Israel, then go forth, be an Israelite from the spirit of your heart, serve the Most High in spirit and truth. But if not, abandon everything you get, gifts, heritage, everything. Give it to the true Israelites. So you know what, Mom, Dad, Uncle, Aunt, this has been stolen. Blood is all over it. Take that and fund organizations like myself and like other people. I'm not about just money. I mean, I'm just saying this is what we need. We're sitting up here. We've got to pay for these blogs. And people coming by knowing they're not the true Israelites, knowing they're not the true Jews, I would think that if you don't want to be a part of a thievery culture or heritage, you should give back. That's the way I feel. Now, Brother Gabriel, I know I said this is the last word, but do you feel like that?
Pretty much summing up, I feel like that. And I'd like to add one more thing. We as a people, it's more than just the blacks that so-called, well, you technically only the blacks could be called Jew, because only one tribe was Judah, and they took that and made it a name in Jew, actually with no J. I don't want to get into basically a Pope changed the J, made the J out of from the I. But we as a people need to come from being separate to one stick, like it says in the Bible. We said Judah will no longer vex Ephraim, and Ephraim no longer abhor, I mean, it said wrong, but abhor Judah. So Judah and Ephraim, the tribe, Levi, Benjamin, and Judah need to come together with the other 10, the other 9 tribes, and we need to come together and everybody as one to come. Because from my understanding, Judah survived first, then all the other tribes will fall behind. So if Judah don't never wake up, the other tribes will never actually wake up properly. So I'm not trying to say, and you, the spiritual Israel, that's, I would say the inner Israel, because you are born Israelite, but they don't make you an Israelite by the word. So we could, spiritual Israel, that, I'll say those that are not Israel or the Gentiles, they are grafted in. Because actually most Gentiles in the Bible were lost Israelites. The long story short, if you grafted in, it, the word say, do not, I forget, boast not against the natural branches.
Yeah, Brother Gabriel, you open up another whole teaching. What I'm asking, so we got to close this out, is
my whole point was, we need to come as one, and everybody else come to one accord, and everything to come properly. But if everything out of order, it's going to be continuous arguments over lesser understandings. We had never get to know higher understanding. We'll be still arguing
Brother Gabriel, I respect what you're saying. You're getting into some profound teaching, and it sounds good, but I've got to wrap this up. My specific question to you was, I was talking about the theft of birthright. If you're profiting from being a Jew in any way, if you're Rolodexing from being a Jew in any way, you know, I mean, talk about Rolodex of cards, I mean, you know, business cards, and Jewish this, you're building an empire on something that has been stolen. You're required to give back to the people you stole them from. That's what I'm asking you. What is your take on if Angela studies and see that she is authentically Israel, bloodline, if she feels the need to do it and she finds out she's true Israel, she can proceed with her life as normal. But if she happens to read and literally see in that book where her people do not live out those prophecies, and they're not Israel, they're not bloodline Israel, maybe Jewish from religion, but not bloodline, and that she have been indeed living under the umbrella, if you will, of a lie, and it won't be her fault. Of course it won't be her fault. I would never say that. She can't control thousands of years of history, but I'm saying if she found out she was a part of this lie, do you think that she should pay back? How do you feel about that, real quick?
Well, I have two calls. I'm going to go with the word. Say, if you steal, you're supposed to pay, I think, sevenfold what you stole.
Yes.
Secondly, in the word say, the Most High, their recompense will be set on their head. So if they don't come back to the Most High and they're trying to buy back the truth, basically it's still going to come back on their head. So the whole thing is first come to the Most High, then you can be your charity can actually be charity instead of, I need to do this because it's responsibility. No, you do things out of your heart. So they do it out of their heart, but because they're following the Most High, then they correct. But if they're doing it because I was told I had to do this, other than that, I'm not respected. No, you do it out of your heart. But if you feel like you're in the wrong, like I say, if you steal, you give back many fold. I can't remember the correct verse, amount, but if you steal, you're supposed to get back. And when you find out, and also say, the children's children will get the suffering of the that's how we got the curses. Our fathers, the patriarchs, didn't get the curses. The children got the curses. So their children will suffer for our recompense. For their recompense. Their fathers.
That's like that.
A lot of people get mad because they say, I didn't do nothing. Well, truthfully, you probably didn't, but you will be punished if you never recognize the truth and if you accept a lie. So if you follow the truth and seek the truth, you cannot be punished. You may not be had the 12,000, one of the 12,000 crowns of the 12 tribes was equal to 144,000, but you will be amongst the multitude that's counted with Israel, will say unnumerable. That's why I believe what the grafted in could be also part of the unnumerable of Israel. So you could say
right.
Spiritual Israel or righteous to the word. So basically a Gentile, the word say, and I think it's Luke, it was somehow he provoked the Israelites, Luke 21 to 20. He's somehow, he gave the Gentiles this because the Israelites not listening. So he provoked them to jealousy, put the Gentiles to rule over them. and bless them with ability to be saved or have salvation through our brother Yeshaya.
Brother Gabriel, I want to get the rest of this because I'm trying to, I don't want to hold y'all, keep holding y'all. So let me, if you don't mind, please, let me hear from Angela, and then we'll wrap it up with I Am Epic. I Am Epic, he's going to have the last words, and I do mean last words. I'm not going to sit after the other and good night. So, Angela, please, quick comments. We'll try it again. Hanging up here.
I know I am Jewish. Many, many centuries, 800 back, 800 years back. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. But even if I were not, I owe humanity, not just one race. My mother, her family, the other branch, very powerful. And I have a lot of guilt. But then I have my vindictive personality, and that's something I have to deal with. Some people have anger. I strike back and destroy. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But I try to balance my life out the best way I know how. You know, if they want to accuse white people of being so evil, it's just a few white people that are the evil ones. And I've actually heard some speak, and the things that I have heard should curl your hair many, many times over. Maybe that's why it's more easy for me to be nonchalant about some things, and I don't know. I just think people need to know more. There should be full disclosure, but there's not.
I Am Epic.
I never know where to start when it's my turn to talk. No, Angela, I agree with you completely on that. And with, you know, I don't know. I felt you there. And I just think the more that we all take the time to come to these sort of studies with the energy or the intention to learn, we're going to. If we seek, we will find, you know. So, I don't know, to wrap that up is, you know, I'm honored to be here and not to have to hide that I'm white here in this blog and this, you know, in these studies that I do with Brother Seth, you know. It's an honor, and I think that's part of the whole big picture. We can talk about that another time, Brother Seth, is how the tables will turn one day, how, you know, the responsibility with that. But I'm just honored to be here, and I'm glad you came, Angela, and, you know, if it's all right with you, I will put you on my prayer list to help, you know. I will pray that you get the clarity, or I'll just put you in the prayer list for your, you know, to help you resolve that part that you're working on, the vindictive, I think you called it. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. I will do that. And I just want to say, Brother Gabriel, I always learn something inside of when you're speaking about when you're on here and you're talking about something. There's always something I make a note about. So thank you for your wisdom.
Well, the Most High says, speak of wisdom and get all your, with all your getting, get understanding. So that's all I'm doing. I'm renaming my understanding. I don't even call myself wise. I call myself a seeker of wisdom. I'm of understanding. So, well, thank you, and you have a blessed one.
Well, listen, y'all, everybody, I just, again, thank y'all for staying and contributing. Nobody hung up, which I don't know why you would, but. And the chat room, I thought we got quite a few people listening to this show. And don't forget, it's archived, so people will be listening to it forever. But the only thing I would say is just remember, you know, we reap what we sow. If we're sitting up here lying, Brother Gabriel, and the Bible said, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. The Bible said, whoever bless Israel, I will bless. And whoever curse Israel, I will curse. So we better be right. Because if we're wrong and we're messing with the Most High's chosen, we bring damnation upon us. But if the people that call themselves Jews, that don't even acknowledge black people, that got all those white images all over Israel, like the Jews are white, when the Bible says that Israel will be like the great speckled bird, and when people do come there from other countries, other nationalities, that don't look like them, they mistreat them, If they mistreat the Most High's anointed and they're not the Most High's anointed, they are going to be damned, and nobody can stop it when it happens. So somebody is going to be damned when it's all said and done. Somebody is going to be damned, and I'm not trying to be damned on my family. So y'all pray for me. Pray for me that I'm on the right road. But when I look at the Bible and when I look at science and when I look at common sense, there is no way in the world those people in Israel today, all of them, as white as they are, in that black land, can be the authentic bloodline Israelites. Not with all these people claiming Jewish ancestry and they're living out every one of these prophecies, it's unheard of. And not to mention, I went in 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have been for 20 years looking for somebody that can answer this question. What have the Jewish people, so-called Jewish people, went through that's in the book? I have talked to rabbis, recorded them, listened to tapings, listened to YouTube, and I'm going to have a debate here from another brother that's one of the outspoken rabbis on this very show. Hopefully that's going to be next Sunday or either Sunday after that. I'm looking for them because I don't want to be wrong. You guys need to see what they say when we try to talk to them. You need to hear their responses, and you'll understand why Brother Seth talked with this with so much passion. They run from us. And even the Torah commands them that if somebody gives them an answer, inquire about your faith, you're supposed to try to answer the question. They can't answer the question. I'm still looking for the Holocaust in Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah.
Folks, we're out of time. Thank you, everybody, everybody, everybody. What was that?
If you just catch me sometime in the next few days, I got some research that I've done history wise that you may want to look at or may help you or may help that. I don't know. It's got some
email me. Email me, please. Please, you got my email. All right. Thank you, everybody, y'all. Let's just pray for each other, and the Most High is going to have the last say in this. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm going to meet every one of y'all at this time. And we'll go out with a song.
Seth,